B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to
rock. Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. A Monday after as bleak a weekend as you're ever going to see or experience in Philadelphia. And I was at the beach hanging out all weekend. And I say, you know, I'm going to commit to this Sunday with the Eagles Phillies and get a couple of wins. And at the end of the night, I found myself pondering sports life. And in that ponder, I came to the conclusion that right now, none of us, absolutely not one of us, has any sports pride. It has been snatched from us completely. There is not one prideful sports thought that is going through our heads right now after what happened this weekend. So let's start with the I don't even want to start with the Phillies, but let's go right into the Eagles, and we'll double back. So when you watch this game, you go, Let's just focus on the end of the game, because the whole game, really, you can talk about, and I'll run out of time until we get to the first commercial. So let's focus on the end game, which is really the most important thing out of that game yesterday. And let's focus on the coach and what he did. And I'm looking at the game and I'm going, this coach has never been a great thinker on his feet. And so yesterday it plays out to the T. After the game, the guy goes, well, when questioned about the circumstance that made him punt the ball on that fourth time in overtime, he said, well, I'll have to look at it with clearer eyes. Now the game's over. Where we need the clear eyes is at the moment. See, that's what a coach is all about. You don't wait for clear eyes. You have clear eyes based on your expertise and feel for the game at the time. And I want you to ponder that for a second. Here is a coach who said, I got to look at it with clear eyes, meaning he choked at the moment. Now, here's how he choked at the moment. He was more afraid to lose the game than to win the game. Now, that hasn't been really touched on very much today. He looking at his mind, instead of processing it to the end, to the strategical end, the thought that prevailed in his head was this. I can't lose this game. I'd be 0-3. See, 0-2 with a tie, the Wolves bark less at the door. When you're 0-3, they come hard after you. He took the easy road out so as not to lose his third game rather than to try to win his first game. And if you don't think that's true, I want you to think about this long and hard on his decisions. This is a guy who has cultivated an image, basically by himself, that he's some riverboat gambler, aggressive coach who goes for stuff. In that situation, he turtled up and said, I'm afraid to lose the game. It's like I relate this to, if you've ever played golf in a match, right? So if you're playing a money match with somebody, it's for good, or it's some kind of a championship match. Like I played a couple weeks ago, and I get down two holes after the first four, And the fifth hole, I got to clear water with, I don't know, 200-yard hybrid club. I'm probably not going to do it there because I can't go down three holes after five. I got to play that one safe. In the situation Doug Peterson was in, there was no other choice but to try to win the game. There's no tomorrow. You can't catch up later. So you can't make the conservative call. And that's what he did. He was afraid to lose the game. Now, a guy that thinks on his feet says this. There are two things that I could do to possibly win this game. One is I could send my field goal kicker out after my dumbass left guard has a false start at the worst possible time on earth. And I can send my kicker, who has made a 61-yarder, to kick a 64-yarder. Or I can try to go for a first down, trusting my quarterback to go down the field. Either scenario doesn't give the other team the time to win the game. Now think about it. There are 19 seconds left. If he tries to kick that ball, how many seconds go off the clock? Six? It's a long field goal. That ball's going to be air for a long time. The snap, the kick in the air. How much time is going to be left if he tries the field goal and misses it? Mind you, that other team doesn't have a timeout. And so is it feasible that they can throw a pass down the field that gets them in the field goal range in the middle of the field? If you've got the sidelines covered and they can't go out of bounds? In the middle of the field, you're telling me they can spot the ball, get their field goal kicker team on the field to win the game? It's unlikely. Now, if he goes for it and misses it, they got to go a longer period of time under the same circumstance. Now, that's called thinking on your feet. And that's called having these analytic yo-yos up in the box, 17 different assistant coaches that could have his ear. And that's the way the decision comes out, because this guy would rather not lose than win. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Now let's go to the quarterback. I keep hearing, well, he's in his head, he's not confident, he's this, he's that, they spooked him, and I've been a culprit in it. I mean, it doesn't do him any favors to have Jalen Hurts there. And now I've come to the conclusion that, what are you, soft? Who cares now? All right, so they didn't do right by you. They didn't cultivate you from the jump. Does that give you the excuse to play like you're playing? Like a novice? And so let me go back to the start with Carson Wentz, because I try to go back to the start and analyze it psychologically. Carson Wentz has built-in insecurity DNA. Why? Two reasons. Number one, he's from North Dakota. Number two, he went to a smaller school, North Dakota State. So when he comes into the NFL, he probably has this, gee, can I compete at that level mentality? Now, he started too early because there was nothing to lose. People weren't expecting anything. He was a young guy. Whatever you get from him is golden. And now when it really matters, his insecurities have engulfed him. And if his insecurities have engulfed him, what do I have? What do I have? I don't want a quarterback whose insecurities engulf him. I'm not going to win with a quarterback whose insecurities engulf him. The Eagles right now are a train wreck forged by incompetent management and right now, lousy coaching. And this year has been blown apart already. Unless a miracle happens and they can find a way to beat two superior teams on the road and maybe the best team in the NFL at home. And now you're looking at what? 0-5-1? Seriously. The pride has been snatched from us as a Philadelphia fan. Now let me go to the Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies disgraced us this weekend. Yes, you heard it right. Even with the injuries that they have, and even with the knick-knack here and the rotation and the bullpen and all that stuff, they had to win one game, and they had their two best pitchers going. And at the end of the year, both those pitchers that they pay a lot of money to choked. and couldn't deliver it. And we can say all we want about the general manager, who absolutely should be fired. And apparently there's a story today that says he's not going to be fired. But we need to look at the manager as well, who has skated completely out of this for reasons that are unclear to me. You want to admire Joe Girardi's resume? Knock yourself out. I admire it too. But you tell me he did a decent job this year. You tell me how he cannot be blamed for this underachieving year when everybody else would have been, including that tool that tried to manage him last year. 7 more wins this guy was supposed to be worth. What'd you get? How many did you get? All right, I'm spilled out, Tyrone. What do you got?
Well, that was strong, Mike. Carson's done it in Philly. I'm saying it out loud.
He's done in Philly.
So you've come
to that conclusion.
Yes, that he's done here. I do think he'll be productive somewhere else. I don't know where, obviously. Wherever he goes afterwards, you can't help but get tougher from this amount of failure. The way this is going to end, I do think he'll go somewhere else. But I don't think between what you mentioned, the Super Bowl, everything else, he is not strong enough mentally to overcome this. It's now his fault. We've laid out the issues. They haven't done right by him. That's still a fact. They've been trying to push him out. That's still a fact. He's letting them do it. That's all his fault. Because if he played well, none of the stuff they do matters. He stinks right now. He stinks right now, and I think he will stink with the Eagles, period. The coach stinks. The general manager stinks. The defensive coordinator stinks. The defense stinks. Other than that, they're solid. And as far as the Phillies go, that was pathetic, despicable. And Aaron Nola, I don't want to hear Ace and his name ever again. He stinks in September now. 17 starts in September the last 3 years. 4.44 ERA. He can't get you through the fourth inning yesterday. That's an ace. In addition to the manager stinking and the GM stinking. But again, other than the ace, the general manager, and the manager not being good, the Phillies are solid as well.
All right. So we'll get to a break. It was funny because I was listening to all the post-game stuff after the Eagles game. And Carson Wentz comes up. And I'm listening to him speak. It was like, oh, no. I'm going, I would have been thrashing myself in public if I had played like that. He goes, well, I missed the throw here, missed the throw there. He should be out there going, and this is a product of insecurity. To cover up his insecurity, he is in denial that he's playing poorly. Like, I would have said, yeah, you know, that interception, I know it was tipped. That's terrible. I'm ashamed of myself for making a throw like that. I can't believe I missed Sanders on that pattern. That's my fault. I'm disgusted with myself. And that's never going to happen again, damn it. I'm tired of this. Instead, he goes, well, you know, I missed a throw here, missed a throw there. Whew. Man, dude. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're going to have an active day today, and I'm going to let everybody speak. You heard what I had to say, and then we'll micromanage this game, little elements of the game that we can talk about. But the overall general theme is this coach was content to tie instead of win the game because he didn't want to risk being 0-3 and getting chastised in this city. 0-2-1 makes it a little softer landing. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Alrighty. It's the 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. And the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Yeah, they're spreading out. All right, we have Natalie Eganoff in the house.
If you noticed,
Andrew Salchunas said for the first segment, Nat had a little doctor's appointment today.
Well, that, and then I was stuck on 76 for an hour.
Oh, you were stuck? You were in traffic.
Yes, I was.
Oh.
Just now.
Well, we're glad to see your sunshiny face.
I can't believe I made it here.
I know you're happy to discuss sports today.
Well, I mean, I don't know what was worse, the traffic jam or the tie, because they both felt about the same.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so it's time to start our Twitter poll anyway, Nat. And that's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero-turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contactless Pickup in Doylestown. What's today's Twitter poll, Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 300 votes on this one early. Tons of Eagles quarterback problems yesterday. Were you okay with Peterson punting at the end of overtime yesterday? 11% say yes, don't lose. 89% say no, always try to win.
Okay. Technically, a tie is better than a loss. I get it. I understand it. But I'm not thinking about a loss. See, if I'm coaching the game, I'm not thinking about the loss part of it. If you're going to let that invade your head and that becomes more of a priority than actually winning the game, then you're not doing yourself proud as a coach. Now, forget that last series, because we're going to talk about this all day. Let's look at the series before it, and you tell me about a coach thinking on his feet. After the play to Ertz gets him in field goal range, they make two boneheaded penalties. Right? There's the Lane Johnson false start. There's the Herbig hold. So at that point, if you're a coach who thinks on your feet, you go, okay, I'm at my own 48. I got to get at least to the 42 of Cincinnati to give my field goal kicker a chance. So I got two plays to do that. So I can go short. I can go 5 yards in a tight end. I can go slip a running back out there for 5 yards. As long as I get to the 42. Instead, he calls plays that are down the field that have no rhyme or reason to it. Where's the thinking that's going into this game?
There was none. And the play calling leading up to the last possession didn't make sense either. It was like he was playing for a 59-yarder all along, which also doesn't make sense. None of what he did made sense. And the quarterback, I know people on the line saying he should take it. There's a lot of problems. That's my issue now. I'm starting to wonder if everything must go. Like quarterback, GM, coach, well, defensive coordinator.
Here's the thing. That team they played stinks. All right? That dopey team gave them every chance to win that game. The two pass interference penalties on the drive are ridiculous. To say nothing of that kicker who before the half, they take the lead with a touchdown. This yo-yo kicks it out of bounds and set him up at the 40. I'm watching the game going, what the heck? People don't know what they're doing in football anymore.
They're a wretched football team. and here's another thing I'm wondering about, too. Is the defense allowed to force a turnover?
Yeah.
It's been 13 quarters now because we played the whole overtime. So there's literally been 13 quarters.
Yeah.
Can they mix in one turnover, strip, something?
Yeah. I get all that. And the defense, they were depleted a little bit yesterday. And I get what you're saying. They're not getting turnovers. They're not a ferocious defense. So I can't expect them to do something that they're not, right? So the offense sometimes has to bail you out if you have the opportunity to bail your defense out. They had two opportunities, kick a game-winning field goal in overtime, too. And they couldn't cash in. There's something faulty with a coaching staff that does that. I understand the team is not good, all right? But come on, dude. Sometimes you got to coach your way smartly to just escape with a 3-point win in overtime. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to the people. T-Love on a cell. What's up, T-Love?
Oh, my gosh, man. Hey, who put this thing together? That's what you got to ask this thing. Who put these teams together? The Phillies, the Eagles, six. When you watch games, the basketball games, do you see any players that resemble players that we have at all? It's just ridiculous. The coaching, nothing is right with these teams. I mean, it's like Tom Wilson. You got to start from the top and work your way down and get rid of all of those guys. I mean, everything needs to be revamped. It is just terrible. We are fanatical and fanatical arrogance, man. I mean, we keep belittling these other teams like Cincinnati. Who are we to talk about how bad Cincinnati is with a team like us? Look at Miami. Oh, yeah, we could beat Miami. Oh, yeah, we should beat Boston. Where are we at? Four and out.
Yeah, they were. Really, they weren't going to beat Boston without Ben Simmons. Come on.
Listen, man. Come on. But does Ben Simmons really make a difference?
Yeah, of course he does. Stop. Go with that. That's a, your two points were fine, T Love, until you got to the basketball point, which is foolish.
Okay. Ben Simmons, great player. Great player. Back to the hoop. Great player. Any case, I'm just saying, man.
I hear your frustration. I get it.
Why should I be a Philadelphia fan?
Period? Yeah, are you, this pride of being a Philadelphia sports fan has been snatched from us right now. It's snatched.
Really? I mean, it is. Should I continue to root for these guys just because I live here?
Well, of course,
I'm
you
sick
should.
Of it, man.
Unless you want to move to another city.
I don't have to do that.
Well,
I'm really frustrated.
Well, okay, what else are you going to do? You're held hostage. You can't do anything about it except do what you're doing, which is to complain and hope that it changes.
Why should I root for the Phillies when there's other teams that's playing, man?
Because, come on, man.
I'm getting sick of this stuff, man.
Because the team that represents your city is your heart. That's why you should root for them. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be frustrated, because you should. But the frustration has to manifest itself to the point where you foster change. This is like a protest movement. You bitch and you moan and you express your dissatisfaction and you don't go to games and stuff like that. It's the only thing you can do. And right now, there needs to be a change. Certainly, one area, the Phillies have to be changed right now, right at this moment. You can't change anything with the Eagles right now. You're going to have to wait for that. Right now, you have the ability to change the Phillies' direction. And that needs to be done by the owner right now. Football, it's going to work itself out because Carson Wentz probably isn't the quarterback that is going to lead this team. So all that fiction that we believed and all that they believed that they had to have this guy to shape their next Super Bowl run, well, guess what? It didn't work out. So now we're back to square one. We got to wait several more years for them to figure out what the right path is. Let's go to Mitch in Phoenix. Mitch, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mitch.
Very well point. You're absolutely right on a lot of your points. And I don't always agree with you, but today you are right on. Now, what do I bring to the table that already hasn't been discussed? Your station, other stations, they say it's Wentz's fault. Some people say it's the coach's fault, and there's a combination of both. Michael, you tell me how you could have an average to good football team, which they don't have, without the proper personnel and without the proper coach calling the plays.
Well, you can't. But right. But you take things one day, one game at a time. They don't have a great coach. They don't have great personnel. They should have won that game. Like, you didn't have to have great coaching or great personnel to win that game. You needed to think on your feet for two series. That's okay, what you're paid to do. You get $6 million to do that.
Okay, what do these three guys have in common? Mariota, the guy that came out of Florida, starts with a W, and Wentz. What do they all have in common?
I don't know. You tell me, Mitch.
Well, I think you do know.
What?
These are three young guys that were highly touted in college. They all went in the first three picks or so. They're all rich. Two is a backup, and one's on his way to becoming a backup.
Yeah, I don't even know the Florida guy you're talking about, but Jameis Winston, Florida State. Yeah. You mean?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm thinking Florida. You got to be thinking Florida, man. So you know, you got to give me the right info.
Well, now that you got the info,
what's your point? So they made the wrong calls on that. All right, they made the wrong calls apparently.
Well. Yeah, that's obvious.
Okay, they thought they had something that they didn't. I don't know what more you want me to say. They thought they had something that they didn't. Wentz has regressed for whatever reason it is. We've seen him make throws. We've seen him succeed in this league. For whatever it is, he has lost his confidence. When you lose your confidence, you can't play very well. Could it change? Yeah, it could change. I mean, yeah. That's their 0-2-1. Could he play better? Yeah, he could play better.
I would say no.
Well, maybe he can't. But the point is, it's only three games, so it's not like the season is over and your quarterback is terrible and you're going to move on from him. At the end of the season, you'll have plenty of chances to think that. Maybe at the end of 10 games, you'll have plenty of chances to think that. You thought it already.
Yeah,
you need to move him on already. You might be right.
But
they have no alternative here.
Right, and that's why the stupidity out there. Switch now. He can't play now. The other guy.
Yeah.
He's not ready to play. And you saw.
Yeah.
He ran that option under the bright lights of the NFL, and it's a fumble. And now it's only one play. I get it. But that's the kind of mistakes he's going to make if you try to start him now, because he's not ready to play yet.
No, he's not even close to being ready to play. If you look at his eyes, you can tell that.
Yeah, he's far. And now you're talking about Wentz reading the defense. Now you can put Hurts back there when he's not ready. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he's a dumb guy. I'm saying he's not ready yet. And try to say save the season against the 49ers on the road? No, there are people that's out there. Like he had to answer the question to coach and say, no, I'm staying with my quarterback. Mm-hmm. They don't have an alternative quarterback. So Wentz will get every opportunity as far as getting reps to change it. I just think it's not going to happen here.
And you might be right. You could be right that he doesn't change at all, and he continues to play like this, and he's a disaster, and he's the Bobby Hoying of this era.
Yeah.
Where it all went bad. We had some moments, and then it all went bad, and it was like the Kevin Cobb of the era. Yeah, it's had some moments.
Or Foles part
right.
One.
Oh, you're right.
When it goes bad.
And sometimes it just says, well, but we're going to have plenty of time to figure that out.
Yeah,
because you can judge him right now. I could judge off of this game. It's right in our hands. We saw what happened. I can't see the future. I don't know how he's going to respond against the better teams. The logic would have it that they're going to get killed by these teams that they have coming up.
Right, but you know that wouldn't torture us enough. So I'm trying to think of what would hurt us more, because we have nothing right now. We have nothing. That Philly situation. They're lucky that the Eagles that there wasn't. Because they would be getting destroyed. That tweet I put out about them possibly not firing them, we got a million responses to that at 975 The Fanatic. They're lucky. But maybe they're going to win a game they're not supposed to just to fool us long enough to hurt us more. There's no way they just lose. That never happens here.
Yeah.
So we're going to feel more pain. That means they're going to get a little up, and we're going to fool ourselves and then get dropped back down again.
I just don't understand how guys, it's their job to coach a game as it's in progress. And I'm not only talking to the head coach. I'm talking about any offensive assistant they have, including a guy like Deuce Daly, who's on the sidelines. All right? And when something happens that pushes you back after Ertz makes that great play and a great throw, by mind you, by Carson Wentz, and then you get pushed back, why isn't there somebody, first of all, the head coach would be thinking about it, but why isn't there somebody who goes, hey, coach, listen, we got to get 10 to 12. Let's go double tight, three-step drop. They're going to cover Ertz. Richard Rodgers will be open. We get six there. Like, what? You're coaching the game live action. Instead, they come up with something. Let's throw the ball down the left side of the field with no rhyme or reason to get 25. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And they didn't need a touchdown. It was after the first possession in overtime. All you need is a field goal to win. Richard Rodgers actually made a couple of catches.
Yeah. Listen, he stinks. I get
it. No, but I'm saying he could catch a six-yard pass to get you closer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to reason in your head. Like, what's the point of going down the field there? I gotta get to the yard line on the TV screen that says field goal range. That means I got to go 10, 12 max, and I got two plays to do it. Who's coaching this team?
And those penalties, it's on the players, but it's a reflection of the coaches. You've never seen a well-coached team blow things like that. The well-coached teams don't make those kind of mistakes in those moments.
I'm apoplectic.
What the hell was Pryor doing on the field goal? What is that? That was the weirdest false start ever.
He choked.
It wasn't even a real false start.
The young kid, he choked. The moment was too big for him.
Stand there.
Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, bud?
What's up, Drew?
So, yeah, I don't know which is more, which I'm more upset with or pathetic wise, you know, with going away from this weekend, the Phillies or the Eagles. I mean, I think the Phillies choke job is more pathetic just because they only had to win one game out of seven or eight. So that one is definitely, I think the more of the pathetic of the two, but the Philly or the Eagles one, that really hurts, man, because, you know, I really thought we had a franchise quarterback, you know, 5 years ago when we got this guy, Wentz, and now, you know, we're looking at it, and it's just, it doesn't seem like it's to be. And here we are thinking that, again, we're going to be in the search for another quarterback, and maybe we have him on the sidelines. We don't know yet, but it's just the regression of this guy within 5 years is just unbelievable. I feel like I'm watching a different player. I mean, could that one injury that he suffered that year really make that much of a difference to where he is now?
Well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, okay? His confidence is shot. He also doesn't have anybody to throw to. He has nobody to throw to. I mean, let's face it. I mean, when you got Richard Rodgers on the field and you're hoping to get plays out of him, that's a desperation that knows no bounds. Ortega Whiteside bails out for some mysterious injury in the warm-ups. He's got Greg Ward. He's got the kid Hightower, who was on the field for 100 snaps, practically. He caught two balls. Why? He didn't know how to play. He doesn't know how to play yet. Like, who are you going to who are you looking down the field to hit?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I know Deshaun left the game early.
That's why you got to coach it differently. This is the point. Like, this is it's beyond me that these guys can't figure this out.
No, it's beyond me too, Mike. I mean, this is the NFL, and for us to regress as much as we have since we won the Super Bowl is just amazing. I don't know another team that's done this like we have. You know, we were on such a, you know, this is going to be the new norm, and you know, here we are now.
He's all right, thanks, Drew. Look, he's got one weapon, really, that's reliable. All right, he's got Miles Sanders. Now, I know, like, he's going to look at it and go, oh, we ran the ball X amount of times. Would they run it 35 times?
Yeah.
But they only ran it 18 with Sanders, now, right?
Today they tried to say, oh, he was fatigued late.
Oh, he was? He was fatigued late?
But guess what, the game, son? He got wide open on that wheel route that Wentz missed. Yeah. He was looking good there.
Yeah, guess what? Hey, son, listen. You got to suck it up for me, babe. Look. Come here. Look. What I got? I got nothing. I need you. All right? So if you're fatigued, I need you to step it up, man. You got to do it for good old PSU. You know? Just imagine 110,000 fans in there, and it's a whiteout, yo. That's what I'm telling them.
Well, the fact that you came out on Friday and said, you laid it out with Hembo Thursday. You laid it out with Beware. You laid out the game plan. That was not the game plan, Mike, that the coach ran with. There was no running. And I know Boston Scott's not a star. I know. But sometimes against a bad defense, you got to even hand it off to him, too. The ratio was Wentz threw the ball too many times. Add on to the fact that right now he stinks. So I don't need a bad quarterback throwing a lot. I need a bad quarterback throwing less. Run the ball, Doug. Yeah, it was a close game.
But here's the deal. Like, Wentz runs it 9 times because he had to, right? So that ups the total. But then he throws in these other schlemiels for no reasons. What are you going to get out of Corey Clement for crying out loud? All right, Boston Scott, he's got to get the ball a couple times. Who else did he give it to? Oh, he brings in Hurts. Hey, let's run the read option. I got to get him a couple touches. I just don't get it.
And at those plays, by the way, you're putting Wentz at wide receiver.
It's desperation to have Hurts on the field. What are you trying to do? Like, to show the fans that you are going to get some use out of a second-round pick that shouldn't have been your second-round pick? What's the end game for that?
That's what it is. See everybody? He ran for a first down.
It's ridiculous, though. It's like, how are you coaching the team that way?
Then he fumbles.
It's annoying.
He fumbles, and they don't put him back in. Now, what does that do for his little bit of confidence? He fumbles one time, and then you don't see him again. So that's another reason why it's risky when you give those guys just a couple of plays, because now he goes to bed thinking about what? His fumble. It's bad coaching. That's also bad coaching.
Listen, I'm an idiot. I'm sitting there watching the game. I got nothing to do with the football game. But I'm thinking on my feet better than the head coach. As soon as the Earth play happens and they get pushed back, I'm screaming two plays to get them back into field goal range, two short plays. I'm coaching on the sidelines without being on the sidelines like everybody else is. These yo-yos, 12 of them. better coaching his team. Can't see that?
Well, you know why.
Well, why? Why? Because, tell me why.
Because 2017 was a fluke. He's not that good.
No, well, but everybody's there. Like, everybody, I'm alone watching the game. I'm thinking on my feet, knowing what right. they should do. They got 13 guys at the game.
I would guess that this is what I really think happens. They talk about, oh, Carson and him don't get along. And we blame Carson for that because right now Carson is horrendous. What if Doug doesn't want to hear it?
That's what I was thinking. I don't think he wants to hear it.
I don't think he wants to hear it from Wentz, but I don't think he wants to hear it from those other guys because they're of those 12 guys, I believe somebody was thinking the same thing you, I, and most of the city were thinking. And I think Doug is so locked in that Doug has told them, I don't want to hear it. So when it's a bad communication, we blame one side. I bet you it's both. Wentz being whatever he is and Doug. And I bet you in this case, this is Doug being Doug and whatever deuce those other guys might have said, he's saying, nah, not during the game. Talk to me after. Has to be. There's no way no one said anything.
Well, because look at how snarky he is in his press conferences now, how he's been over the last couple weeks. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear anything, any sort of criticism that's coming his way because he thinks his way is the way.
Let's go, Mr. NFL. It's a fundamental call. Get 6-5 and get your field goal kicker. Come on, Mr. NFL. I know I didn't play in the NFL. You did. But guess what? My mind is more active than yours. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli shows back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
247, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, a Football Monday. Football Monday on The Fanatic. It's brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season with flexible financing options for every budget. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, just visit NoPayBryant.com. All right, coming up at 4 o'clock, the Fanatic Football Pool. That'll bring some joy to the show. And Brian Westbrook comes on after that at 4. And then we'll talk to Ron Jaworski at 5 to get the lowdown on Mr. Wentz. And, you know, I watched the presser yesterday, and I tweeted out that I think this man is just oblivious to his failures, or he's just trying to cover up his insecurities by ignoring his failures. There's something weird about that, man.
Yeah, I think it's a super insecurity because there's no way he could be foolish enough to think that what he's doing is okay. I mean, he's wretched. He's the worst quarterback in the league right now. There's no way he thinks that that's just a couple of throws.
And as fate would have it, and I know we're going to hear from him today because I've already heard from him via email and Twitter, and I'm sure you have too, guys.
I can't. I really can't. I can't.
Of all days, too.
I know.
Of all days. As I say, our pride has been snatched from us in so many ways, including what happened with that guy yesterday rescuing the Bears.
It was against the Falcons, so I got to see it.
No, I get it. They stink. They collapse. But it's like, what a coincidence that this guy would come off the mat on this day. On a day when the Phillies crap out of the playoffs, the Eagles settle for a tie instead of a win, and here comes the Superman with the red S.
I just don't.
How's everyone doing?
What do we do to deserve this? I just don't really understand.
I'm so proud of my own Twitter game.
But did you stay off him?
No.
Come back at him?
They're all blocked.
Oh, you blocked?
They're all blocked or muted, so I saw none.
Oh.
I got it in person.
I have insulated myself against the foes in society, and people know that they don't want that smoke in person. So I'm good.
After the loss, somebody yelled, "Foles does it again," and I'm like, "Is this? I can't. I just can't." I got in person.
But that's the percentage of people who are rooting against the Eagles. They're rooting against Wentz. They wanted him gone a while ago, But, I mean, good for Foles.
You know,
if he had no fans, I would love him. It's his fans I hate. Foles is not a problem.
Nick Foles and what he did yesterday is a reflection of political climates.
What do you mean?
Trump enlivened a certain base, and here's Nikki Foles enlivening a certain base now.
Yeah, there's parallels there, I see.
And Wentz not doing nothing about it. Not like he's making them forget about him with his wretched play. Mm-hmm. I wish I could talk to Wentz.
Me too.
He wouldn't enjoy the conversation, but I wish I could talk. But I mean, he would enjoy it more than somebody else.
First thing I would say,
hey, Carson, this is obviously off the record. You know, there's no recording, nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I would ask him first, like, well, what's on your mind right now? Because I would want to find out if there's somebody in his family that's sick, if there's something outside of that. So that's the first thing I would ask.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say, all right, now you and the coach, like, what's the real deal? Because I want to know what the disconnect is. And I would try to see, because I don't think he's a liar. I think he's acting weird at this press conference, but I don't think he's a liar. Mm-hmm. So I try to dig into what's up with the coach. And then I'd find out if he was healthy. And then I'd say, well, you do know where you play, right? Because like, I feel like you don't understand where you play. And I was like, and what it takes to win. Like, to not forget win. I don't think you recognize what it takes to exist here. You can't really be but so soft doing anything in Philadelphia. And you're being a little soft. A little soft on yourself, a little soft on your teammates, a little soft on the GM, who I know you don't like, because there's no way you like him based on what's happened. It would escalate slowly. But first, I would check on him.
I'd just be like, is it the statue? Is it the statue? Is that really what it is?
But I would tell him, stop being a punk. Like, enough of that. Like, if by now, you have to be over that. You're a father, all these other things. You if you're going to be the quote man, you can't worry about all that stuff. Like, you can get rid of all these folks. If he balls out, and the defense blows a bunch of games, and they have to get rid of Howie, he's safe. He can get rid of anybody. The starting quarterback has the ultimate power.
It's ridiculous. Weeks ago, I read a tweet that said, and he cited three people, but I can't remember who the third person is. As soon as these guys got married and got all goo-goo with the marriage thing and the kid thing, the game has suffered. Drew, Wentz, and there was somebody else that guy cited.
Was it Harper?
Might have been Harper.
People are upset about, because I will say Harper did not close the season. He didn't carry the team into the playoffs either. He's not the main culprit, but he didn't play like a star either the last week of the year.
Yeah.
That last week, and he wasn't a superstar either. He was fine, but he didn't do anything. He didn't go hit three home runs and see, don't worry about it, fellas. I got us there like Ryan Howard used to do, or Jimmy Rollins used to do, or Utley did. He didn't check any of those boxes, I will say.
You know, I don't know. Does it have any merit at all? It's like, even if you're playing bad, it's like your mindset, oh, that's everything. Everything's okay. I got my beautiful wife that greets me at the door.
Can be. Yeah. I have a hard.
Is that good or bad?
It could go either way. It depends on the person. If you're a person who dives into work, you might need that turn off, like, you know, to be able to turn it off. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the person. I do generally think, and it's unfair, but since you have such a finite amount of time to play, I'm always like, maybe, like, stay single till you're done playing. Like, do like Jeter did.
Yeah.
Like, if I could pick other people's lives as my pro athletes, they would all be single till they were done playing.
Yeah.
But that's obviously very selfish and wrong.
Well, that and also, if they can't separate it, especially.
Yeah.
If your relationships are going to impact your work.
Yeah, then no relationships. Like, obviously, that's completely unrealistic and wouldn't happen.
It's almost like we expect them to take it harder, but they don't, because they've got the beautiful wife at home that is going to pat them on the head.
And that's the tough part, because obviously, he's been wretched. His wife and kid are more important. It just, he can't approach it like that. Yeah. But I mean, if it's play a bad football game or have my daughter be safe when she runs into my arms, I mean, come on.
All right.
Like, you know.
And on top of this, so Rager's hurt, and that's twice now he's been hurt. And meanwhile, CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson and Metcalf are thriving. I'm swearing to God, it's like an alien. The alien got the claw and snatched our pride right out of our bellies.
Wentz needs to
snatched
say that. He needs to say that out loud. After he critiques himself, be nice if I had Jefferson and Metcalf, though.
It's take a break. We have the 3 o'clock hour. This is an active 2 o'clock hour. 3 o'clock is going to get better, and 4 o'clock is going to be better. Nah, and 5 o'clock, we're just going to be crazy. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. And the 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. All right, Tyrone, I hate to do this to you, but the NBA Finals have been set. And it's the Lakers against who? The Lakers again? Can we get?
Yeah, don't have computer that? Froze up for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got some difficulties
do it later.
In
we'll,
here.
We'll touch back on that a little later.
Yeah, got a little okay. Little computer thing.
All right, it's just like a glitcher.
Yeah, little glitcher.
Right.
So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all right. I think
I sound it in play.
I think I know what team's in it. to add to this miserable weekend, let's take inventory, okay? So, we got the Eagles. We got the Phillies. We got swept by a team that already clinched, mind you. They need one win of three. They don't get one. There's a report today that actually Klentak's going to save his job. There's CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson. There's Nick Foles. And then there's Jimmy Butler go to the NBA Finals.
Jimmy!
Oh my God! It's like piling on today.
It's really bad. I don't remember feeling this. It's been so long since I felt this horrible internally about everything.
Oh, man.
It doesn't feel like there's any light at the end of any tunnel anywhere. It's just an abyss of darkness sadness.
And then
everybody else wins.
And then the first caller today wants to bail as a fan. And I always had a lot of respect for him.
Well,
I'm not going to repeat his name because I've lost respect for him. But this is wretched. And the pick after Reagan, and everybody knew... Oh, he's not going to be NFL ready.
Jefferson.
He can't play fast. Meanwhile, 175 yards, you look kind of fast to me. 175 yards, look kind of fast to me.
It's just like, how many things can happen here?
You know, I got to knock Amy for duel.
You can knock
Why?
Amy?
What
I
did
saw,
Amy do?
Yeah, I saw it, you tweeted, I can't believe you did that. Or what?
Yeah,
what
because I'm already upset.
Uh-huh.
She's the one who reminded me about it.
Right? About Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, my pain. I was trying to block that out. You know, at the time, he only had 115 yards or something like that. I was like, don't do this right now. This is disastrous. And none of it's hindsight. Tons of people thought Jefferson was better on draft day. Oh, but he can only play in the slot. At this point, I don't give a damn where he plays. I just need football players. Because in addition to my quarterback stinking, whoever takes over for him is going to have to throw to the same slot because these guys can't play.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing your boy play left tackle next week, but apparently Jason Peters is all right.
Yeah, he's fine. He actually ended up playing 89 and 91 snaps. Not well, though.
I wanted to see that so bad.
Yeah, but the Peters, too. Like, you go.
No, I get it. He was terrible yesterday.
I'm glad you got your money, but I mean, you might want to mix and earn it.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. You know your quarterback stinks right now. You know he's horrendous. You're not going to block for him at all. How does that make things better?
No, it doesn't.
You're not going to block for him? He already is bad with a clean pocket. Now you're going to make him have to rush throws because you stink? Oh. There's nothing good right now. The sun might as well never come out again in Philadelphia.
Dude, I gotta be honest with you. I can't take the sideline thing anymore. I tweeted about it yesterday. I just can't take it anymore. I can't take that frickin' Sudfeld. Now in street clothes, still getting his grubby hands in that Microsoft Pro review with Wim. I just can't take it anymore. Please make it stop.
They should stop showing it.
Yeah, they really
Please
should.
Please make it stop.
They should stop showing
this guy.
Because other teams do it.
Chain them somewhere. All right?
I get it.
All right.
They should activate them.
Enough now with this.
Or activate him and stop dressing Hurts for these stupid dummy plays when he's not ready to play quarterback. Because if he was ready to play quarterback, he'd be starting right now. Because the other quarterback hasn't earned the right to keep his job. So that's how you know he's not ready to play.
But we're a quarterback factory. Yeah, what do you mean?
And then the solemn shot of Pryor on the bench and being consoled by Malata. And I know Malata's going, I'm glad that wasn't me.
They cut me if I did it.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean, you're not going to get cut.
Don't worry about it, man. It's going to be all right. Glad it wasn't me. Let's go. Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys, this is a painful autopsy from the weekend. Once again, Doug has lived up to my lofty expectations. You know, I would feel so much better if he went for it on fourth down and we didn't make it and it was a tie. But, you know, he basically just said, I give up. That's just a terrible feeling.
He didn't want to have a third loss on his. He can't process anything quickly. But the one thing he did process was the most simple thing, which is, I can't lose. I can't make this our third loss. At least if we tie, they'll stay off me. You know, that's exactly what he's thinking. Otherwise, you process it quickly and you go, okay, even if I go for it here. Even if I don't make it, look where they have to start the drive with 12 seconds left and no timeout. And all I got to do is play the sidelines. They can't possibly complete a pass and get their field goal team, get their other team off the field, and get their field goal team set up on the field in that period of time. But that's what you got to process as a coach.
Well, we've documented, I think, over time, Doug's mental alacrity, but I don't know. Did you hear his presser today? He was
I listened to it. Mm-hmm.
How do you fix it? And he said, well, you simplify the offense, you cut down on the reads, and we'll run the ball more. Now, doesn't that sound like what you would say if you were starting a rookie or a backup?
Well, but if it's the right thing to do, like going into the game. The first drive, I go, okay, they got it. Because it was 6-6, wasn't it? They had six runs, six. First of all, for them not to score a touchdown on a 14-play drive was a precursor of what was going to happen in this game, right? They only got three out of that. But he did balance it. He did run the football on that first drive, right? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he at least paid attention to the concept that the Bengals can't stop the run, so he's changing his game plan a little bit to actually run the football against a team that can't stop the run that well. And I'm going, look at my man going to school. And then by the end, it's like you can't process the situation. All right, Chuck in North Carolina. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
I'll tell you right now. I'm underneath the house, and these Campbell Crickets got more game than them guys on the football field.
The hell is
these
a Campbell Cricket?
Here. A Campbell Cricket, it looks like a giant cricket underneath the house, but it's got a big hump on its back.
Ew.
Well, what happens is they got these little antennas, right, and they get up in the corners of the houses, and when you shine your light at them, they start getting all jumpy around and everything, and I'm getting more action out of these Campbell Crickets under this house.
What kind of a disgusting creature did God create with the hump cricket? Whatever the hell it's called, the camel cricket.
I can deal with that. It's ticks. Ticks and roaches. I can't deal with that.
Jesus, God, what are you thinking? A cricket's not creepier enough? You're going to make it look like a camel with a hump?
Yeah, it does. Look it up. They're pretty creepy, but hey, you know, it's what I do. I'd rather deal with this than an 0-2-1 Eagles.
Well, you know, this is what you got now. Now, it's going to only get saucier here, Chuck. They're at San Fran next week. They're at Pittsburgh the week after that.
Well, here's where I've heard nobody say this yet. Do you know the two players that won us the Super Bowl are not on the field, and that's Frank Reich and DeFilippo, three, and Foles. None of them are here. And when they all left, we have gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah,
Doug Peterson is not a good coach. He was a good coach when he was surrounded by other good coaches. Carson Wentz helped us get to the promised land, but when he got hurt, he's never been the same because they put a false statue out in front. Mm-hmm. Just like Tyrone said, and I'm saying, and I hate this more than anything, his time is done here. He will be a great quarterback somewhere else. And we all keep talking about, oh, we need Jefferson. Oh, we need Metcalf. You know what? If they brought them here, they wouldn't work. Because every time we've ever brought in a star, they never work here. Ever.
Well, like
the guy from Seattle. They never work here because nobody works in our system. Because
they were free agent guys that were a little longer in tooth. You compared them to rookies that they didn't draft.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put it like that. You know, I'm kind of in a
I get you. I hear what you're saying, but it's not the same. You take a wrong guy in the draft, that's not equate with taking a wrong guy in free agency.
Okay. I apologize.
That's right. You don't have to apologize. Just, you know, bring it up to your attention.
So do you think Jefferson or Metcalf came here, do you think they would be explosive like they are in Seattle?
Yeah, I think they're better players.
And their other
I think they're better players. Rager, we don't have enough information yet with Rager. But he's been hurt twice now. It's like annoying. The kid's hurt twice.
What's wrong with Jackson? What's wrong with DeSean Jackson?
Well, he's 100 years old. What do you expect? What do you think? These hamstrings get lubricated when you get older?
So do you think Carson Wentz will play better on another team if he was to be traded?
Probably. Yeah, okay, I think he's got... Listen, I think he's engulfed mentally. And I don't like that type of guy who allowed himself to get engulfed mentally. And I can probably trace the sociological reason for it. But if you really want to play football in the NFL, you probably need a change of scenery to get away from the angst that is now piled on you. And you can go and be free and play to your ability. But that doesn't do me any good now. Like, I don't care about his career. I couldn't care less where he goes to be a success. I really don't. I care about the guys that are here. I don't worry about whether they're going to have a good career or not. I'm not invested in their personally.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. Once he's gone, then, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but the question is, would a fresh start change him? Who knows? I don't know. He looks stiff and unconfident. And you're not going to be able to play quarterback when you're stiff and unconfident. So if you go to a place there where they welcome you and there's no other alternative but to play you and you got nothing to lose, then maybe that gives you enough lucidity or whatever to play well. I don't know.
Yeah, it might, but, you know, I think they're going to lose by 100 to San Francisco. Like, I don't know what the line is. I haven't looked yet because.
Yeah, I get a Hembo sent me a stat. Right now, this is skewed by the fact that he really doesn't have anybody to throw to. I acknowledge that. Greg Ward is your top guy to throw to, other than the tight end. I mean, you got nothing, really. So, the fewest yards per attempt this season, he leads the league. 5.6 fewest yards per attempt. He's lower than the following. Joe Burrow, who throws short passes, he's 5.8. Darnold, your boy.
He's terrible.
He stinks. 5.9. Daniel Jones, he stinks. 6.2. And Dwayne Haskins, 6.2. Now, the difference between all of those guys is that they all are on a rookie contract. The other guy gets paid as one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
Right.
So you would expect more from that guy than somebody on a rookie contract.
Yes, although I would trade weapons with all four of those other guys.
You would trade Wentz for all four of those guys?
No, I would trade weapons.
Oh, weapons.
I would rather have Boyd and Green. I'd rather have the Giants weapons. I would rather have all the weapons on the other team. Just factually, I would. But yeah, he's wretched. He's wretched right now.
You know, I'm trying to think, if I was a coach and J.J. Ortega, the trainer, comes up to me and J.J. did something. I go, you know what? Tell him to just get out. Seriously, like, enough now with this guy.
He played 13 plays. Zero targets.
He's just a body on the field.
I got to put him on like minutes restriction? That guy? He's been making me look like an ass since he got here.
I don't care.
Tell him to take his uniform off.
I know it's not his fault he got hurt. That, to me, that moment yesterday, I said, you know what? Now, it was obviously a slim chance. As we asked on Friday, Velasquez didn't do the job and him. Turns out the answer was neither.
Oh, you were so close to the headstand bet.
I know.
Vinny
so
had a, close. Had it going a little bit.
Vinny goes into the sixth inning and then... I'm laughing, but it's gallows humor.
That was their best chance to win. They had a lead in that game. Well, it was worse the other two. The Vinny game was the game to win. Vinny had a lead. They didn't even lead the other games.
Oh, let's go to Tim and Dayton. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Mike, I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Tim?
All right. Well, I couldn't agree with Tyrone more today. Wentz is not going to get it back. He's done. I'm over it. I've been a Wentz apologist forever. I don't care if you have weapons or not. I just, the guy's done. Now, let me ask you a question. I understand that, you know, you're not going to put in Hurts, but let's say you were in another division. Would you? Let's say you're in the Eagles were in the NFC North. Okay. Uh-huh. And you're going to lose anyway. So, I mean, like, this team's cooked and Wentz is done. So why not let Jalen Hurts get his reps and see if this guy can learn from his mistakes?
Well, because they're all, here's the reason. Here's the simple reason. They're only 0-2-1, and you don't put a guy in now who's not ready to play. He'll get swallowed up. Now, if the season goes on and they're like 2-8, well, then obviously it's no holds barred at that point. But the kid's not ready to play in the NFL. I mean, he was scared to death when they put him in that game yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's all an experience thing, isn't it? So the only way to...
Yeah, but you don't want to embarrass the kid. You don't want to get him destroyed. He's not ready to play yet. If the season is a total lost cause, and then 0-2-1, it's not, because this division stinks. You don't play him now.
Well, Mike, they're about to be... Come on, Mike. You know they're about to be 0-5.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying, it hasn't happened yet, so you don't do it. If they get to the point where they're 10 games in, the kid gets a little more practice time, the season's lost, then maybe they do it. But you can't do it now. It doesn't serve anybody's purpose to do it now.
All right. Let me ask you one more thing real quick.
Yeah.
I firmly believe this. I think that, look, Doug's been kind of a doofus, you know, for the last couple of years. But do you think that Doug's coaching is directly correlated with his lack of confidence in Carson Wentz?
Yeah, a lot of it is. A lot of it is. But like I say,
with anybody else.
Thinking on the feet, it doesn't matter how bad you think Carson is, okay? Because at the time that you make that decision to punt, you're giving up on your whole team. You're not just giving up on your quarterback. You're giving up on your whole team. Instead of saying, all right, let me trust my kicker. Maybe he can get it done. Or let me see if the quarterback can go. What do you lose if he incompletes the fourth down pass? What are you losing? They can't possibly get into a position to win the game, the other team.
No, it's a dumb mistake. Thanks, Mike.
He may have said to himself, I don't have confidence the kicker can complete a pass. All right, well, I don't have confidence my kicker can kick 64 yards either. But there's such a thing as trying it, risk-reward. Because it's possible that both of them could succeed in that situation. You've already determined that neither one's going to succeed. And even if they don't succeed, you still kind of have a safeguard that Cincinnati can't win the game. So, like, if you're thinking logically on your feet, that's how you process it quickly. And if you can't process it that quickly, what do? You punt like he did. Because he couldn't process it quickly enough. It's funny, a friend of mine on the text board, who you may know, Tyrone.
Okay.
I don't want to put his name out there.
Uh-huh.
But he said, if Doug Peterson was a character in the Flintstones, who would he be? And the, the best answer is Fred's friend, Joe Rockhead.
Oh,
Joe Rocky. Come on.
Seriously, it's the best answer, isn't it?
It's the best answer. Joe Rocky, yeah.
It's better than Mr. Slate.
No, Mr. Slate was Sean.
I was thinking Mr. Slate, but he's too smart. He was the businessman.
This guy made it. So it was a mogul.
It would have. It could only be Joe Rockhead.
And later on in the show, Mike, I want you to talk about whether or not you care if Joe Rockhead does what he likes to do. Because that was his response when asked about giving up the play calling. It was, it's what I love to do, as if we care.
I don't care about what you like.
610-632-0975. All right, after this, a quick break. We're going to go around the NFL. Yes, we got some really interesting highlights. And I'm just going to tip you off. All you Folesian Society members, you don't want to miss it. We're back after this.
How's everyone doing?
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh yeah, that music, it's football music. And that means it's time to go around the NFL, brought to us by Farron Electric. From recessed lighting and chandelier or fixture installation to home automation and landscape lighting, Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at Farron, F-A-R-R-Y-N, Electric. com. All right, let's start around the NFL. Number five. Well, you know, I'm just tied knots. I don't know whether to pounce on the pathetic Atlanta Falcons, who became the first team in NFL history to lose back-to-back games in which they led by at least 15 points in the fourth quarter, or laud the effort of our never-to-be-forgotten hero, Nick Foles, who engineered a stunning 30-26 Bears win over the Falcons. All right, let's go with Nicky. He comes in for the erratic Mitchell Trubisky in the third quarter, and bang! First, he hits Jimmy Graham for a short score.
Foles on third down to the end zone. It is Graham again. Same spot as back in the second quarter, his second touchdown today.
All right. And then he gets a great play from Allen Robinson, Penn State proud, for a touchdown. And then the kill shot. Defender in his face gets it off.
Third down and eight, and the Bears are ready in field goal range. The pass is caught in the end zone for a touchdown by Anthony Miller. The Chicago Bears take the lead with a minute 53 seconds remaining.
Got to give him credit. Nice throw, guy in his face, got blasted afterwards. But the Falcons are just ridiculous. Last week, they stand around like Stu Nods on an onside kick. And now this, Dan Quinn, you gots to go. All right, number four. Well, apparently the Eagles aren't getting any bargains next week either, because the 49ers crushed the Giants without a lot of their key personnel. And Jimmy Garoppolo out. Nick Mullins. Yes, Nick Mullins has the day. 25 for 36, 343 and a touchdown. Niners win 36-9. San Francisco outgained the Giants 420-231, and they scored on seven of their first eight possessions. The Giants blow. No need for any highlights. Interesting that the Niners, though, stayed on the East Coast after playing in New York last weekend, and they prepped for the game in West Virginia. They played at MetLife Stadium last week, and they're complaining about the turf, so they went to West Virginia to hang out, which is the last place I would ever go. Number three. All right, I guess Josh Allen's pretty good. The Bills quarterback has had a hand in 12 touchdowns, all told, scored by this team this season, topping a mark previously held by Jim Kelly at this time. The Bills won 35-32, but Allen sure did his best to give a game away. A couple of Allen turnovers fueled a near-incredible comeback by the Rams, who were down 28-3 with about 8 minutes left in the third quarter. The Rams rallied to take a 32-28 lead, and then to play the game. Fourth and eight, Bills at the Rams' 13-yard line.
On fourth down, throws incomplete.
and a flag down. It came in late. He was throwing in the area of Gabriel Davis.
Is there enough contact here? They're both making contact. He releases. Wow, that's a huge call on fourth down.
Probably a bad call, but then it gives the Bills second life, and this is what happens to win the game.
Right 20!
For the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo, Tyler Croft! The Bills have the lead with 15 seconds left.
Yeah, and they would win the game on that touchdown. Tough loss for the Rams coming to East Coast twice in a row, both weekends. All right, number two, the Carolina Panthers get a win. Go ahead, Matt Rhule. First NFL victory for the Temple U legend. Fight for the cherry and the whatever. Anyway, Carolina got five field goals in this game. Managed to sack the Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert a couple times and converted three turnovers and 12 points, winning 21-16. Herbert again threw for more than 300 yards. He did that last week, filling in for malpractice candidate Tyrod Taylor, and he became only the third quarterback to do that in his first two starts. But the Panthers nearly found themselves on the losing end on the Chargers' last play. It was a hook and ladder that should have gone.
Down five, Herbert with the snap. Pressure coming, middle of the field. Keenan Allen on the hook and ladder, and it goes over the head of Eckler.
That might have scored.
That very well could have scored. The pitch was just a little bit high, or Eckler was not quite ready for it, and that will be the end of the game. The Chargers lose.
Stone touchdown. It was an easy pitch. It goes over Eckler's head. Oh, all right. Anyway, number one. All right, if there's any solace, Seattle beats the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are now 1-2. Does it matter with the way the Eagles are playing right now? Probably not. Also, Russell Wilson is ridiculous. He threw for five touchdowns, 27-40 for 315. Seahawks won 38-31, and he set a record for the most scoring passes in the first three games of the season. 14, topping the mark of 13 Patrick Mahomes set last year. Crazy game. DK Metcalf, Philly's favorite, he should be here guy, made a colossal blunder early in the game, casually sauntering into the end zone for what he thought would be a 29-yard TD until this.
Wilson back on second and long. A lot of time, another deep ball. He's got Metcalf, and he caught it at the 10.
Metcalf slowed down at the end of this, kind of hot-dogged it, and it gets punched out.
That's
by
a touchback. How about Diggs?
Yeah. Oh, DK Metcalf hates himself.
Yeah, Diggs chasing down, punched the ball out before he got over the goal line. But later on, Metcalf would catch would be the game-winning touchdown. Now, Dak Prescott drives the Cowboys back, and they were actually driving in the final seconds when this play happened.
Prescott is able to stay up to the end zone. It is picked. Seahawks take over. Prescott stayed on his feet and then throws a game-ending interception.
Yeah, it was an amazing play. It's hard, tough to get the read on that. But he's got blast in the pocket, spun out, was falling down, used his arm to keep himself up and keep his balance, and then just flung it. Now, he probably should have thrown it out of bounds and had another play, but he tried to make a play, and it was an easy pick. And that's the end of Around the NFL Today. It's brought to you by Farron Electric, from recessed lighting and chandelier or fixture installation to home automation and landscape lighting. Farron Electric can give your home an upgrade inside and out. Schedule a consultation at farronelectric.com. Well, that hook and ladder play was set up perfectly.
It's a great call.
And he just, with a bad lateral. How do you make a bad lateral?
And I don't know how. I guess the moment just catches up to you because you haven't done it before. That's my guess, is you're just so amped up that you throw it too hard.
Yeah, he was too anxious. He flipped it too high over his head or behind him.
Yeah, it'd be nice if the Eagles, since they have they don't have a lot of talent right now, maybe a little creative trick kind of play. Andy Reid would have done a trick play at some point this season that maybe would have gotten something going. But
yeah, I don't know if they have any tricksters on the team.
You have a college quarterback that's currently your best wide receiver.
Oh, you want to send him out in the trickster?
Something. You got to do something. Yeah. You got to try a trick play. When you stink, you steal a touchdown. Because I can tell you, running hurts as a decoy or running him around the edge. This isn't the Big 12. That's not going to get it done.
Yeah. Well, we haven't even thought about, you know, it's all this hurts taking over. What about stud?
You mean that way they lied to us?
It seems to know every answer on the pro, right? He's got everything figured out. He's the one interpreting everything on the computer.
Yeah,
maybe.
Listen,
I mean, at this point,
it's a little love.
You know what? At this point, the current quarterback stinks. Give Sudfeld a start.
Sud some love.
What if Sudfeld comes in and becomes a legend?
Sudsy.
Anybody can do it, right? Why not?
Justin in Northeast Philly. Justin, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hello?
What's up, Justin?
What's up? I got a lot to tune in on, right? So I hear all what's going on. That was a horrible time. That was that. I had a horrible weekend, and that made it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to realize what's going on. Like, I believe you guys ever watch, The Longest Yard?
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
With Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I didn't like that one. That one sucked.
That's my favorite one because all my...
Yeah, you got to go older school in that. You got to go older school, yeah. It's more pure.
What I believe what's going on in Philly right now is the same thing that they were trying to do with Paul Krug. They're making this. So, what's going on right now is, like, basically he's throwing away these games. He's throwing the receivers. Like, I think all the receivers, they should just all play sick because he's throwing them in the traffic. He's throwing them literally in the traffic. To where it's impossible for them to make any yak, like yards in for catch, and it's crazy because he's a great quarterback, and you could see it because of his first 2 years.
Yeah, he's not great right now.
No, he's not.
No, you think he's Paul Krug it? He's throwing it on purpose.
Yeah, like throwing it on purpose in the traffic.
What's he trying to accomplish with that?
That's
he's got to be satisfying the warden. He's trying to curry favor with the warden.
Yeah, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Like something like you know, it's weird because say we would have had this preseason, this season, all this talk about you guys are saying Hurts isn't the guy.
Mm-hmm.
If preseason was on, we would have seen what Hurts was really about. Right?
Yeah, it's a little too young for him. Yeah, without preseason, certainly. Justin, what are you doing the rest of the day? What's up? What's on your schedule the rest of the day in the Northeast?
Rest of the day right now.
What do you got going?
I just got done an interview. I hope I get it.
Oh, you interview for a job? What kind of job are you looking for?
I want to be a sports broadcaster. I love sports.
Oh, you had a sports broadcasting interview?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Give me a little play-by-play. Give me a little something. Like, what'd you do in the interview?
I kind of just was telling them how much I care about sports. I mean, I live, die. I mean,
uh-huh.
I just don't. I got the different, like, so right now, person like me, this is dead honest truth. I just threw $150 on the Eagles winning the NFC Championship.
Just now you did? If they're 0-2-1 at 0-2-1, you did?
Yes. And here's my theory. Both Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz are on the hot seat right now, Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Watch them come back. Let me tell you something, brother.
If they come back and do what you just bet, you'll get a job no problem. Because you're ahead of the game.
I mean,
come on.
He had it all down.
See, but that's what we do to ourselves. we just shape the situations.
I'm sorry, I had to mess with it, dude. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Just shape the situations into what we wish it could be.
I apologize. 6-1, sometimes the horns come out.
Sorry, yeah. About to be 0-3-1.
610-632-09. 7-5. That is how you climb in. A lot more to come at the 4 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we got the football pool coming up. We also have Brian Westbrook coming up. And we get back from this quick 3-minute break. Hembo keeps giving me stats that make me feel worse about this whole thing. So I got another Hembo stat for you on the other side. Back quickly after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46. Mike Mussinelli show. You know, I did around the NFL, and I said the 49ers stayed in West Virginia. Yeah, well, they actually stayed. I found a friend of mine texted me because they stayed at the Greenbrier, which is that golf resort down there.
Well, that ain't bad.
Yeah. So it's not exactly they were roughing it.
Still.
Stayed at the Greenbrier. Played golf all week down there.
That's not bad.
All right, so Hembo's killing me. And so he sends me this. The Eagles this season in the first half have outscored their opponent 46-38.
Okay.
In the second half, they've been outscored 49-13. Only the Falcons on a worse second half scoring margin. The Eagles, after halftime, have only scored on 3 of 19 drives. Their opponents have scored on 10 of 20 drives. Wentz's passer rating after halftime is 42.8. No other quarterback in the league has a second half passer rating of under 65.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Nice.
Also, I think that Hembo's now using his numbers as a battering ram.
He is.
If I'm Carson Wentz, once I tell off the coach, well, myself first, I actually acknowledge that I stink, and I yell at the coach, and then I yell at Howie, I'm calling Hembo.
Hembo is using it like a club.
Yeah, like you know, yeah, you don't have to battering ram me with stats.
He's not a Wentzman.
I know I stink. Like, I know that I stink. All these stats just further illuminate what we already know. Yeah. There's nobody in the city going, well, I don't know. Wentz was solid because he hasn't been. No one has said that at all.
Yeah.
So now it's just bludgeoning my man with stats.
All right. Let's go to Ewing, New Jersey with Anthony. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, man?
I can't stop laughing, bud. You got a great show, and your people, your Philly fans, are great. Yesterday was the grand finale. The Flyers spit the bit out. The Sixers got swept. The Eagles are horrible. And the Phillies couldn't win a ball game to put them in the playoffs.
Yeah, so you're in Ewing Township. You're on the line of demarcation. So are you more of a New York fan?
Yeah. Guess what? Try being a Giant fan. You think the Eagles are bad?
Yeah, the Giants are horrendous.
If you want to watch...
You don't even have any relief with the Jets. Yesterday? They're even worse.
Worse is right.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to the Eagles.
Worry about it. You got your Yankees.
I know.
Go Yanks!
27, going for 28. Listen, one thing. The Eagles, getting back to them, I shut the Giants off. I got a question. Do you think that defense is going to catch on the 3rd and 23, where they had 3 guys rushing and 8 guys back 25 yards?
Who are you talking about, the Eagles defense?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Sticks defense, the one that Gio Bernard ripped apart?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Man. And then at the end of the game, okay, he already was set to kick a 54-yard field goal. That's what he had in his mind. Okay? He ran the ball twice. Okay? Before they were the procedure penalty against a 7-man front and gained a yard.
Yeah.
Gained 5 or 6 yards and kick a 45-yarder.
I agree. He doesn't really. He's not a perceptive play caller when the heat is on.
No. He chokes.
Yes, he does. I've said this for a long time. He's not a great thinker on his feet. Now, you can't take away what he's done, and he has emotional talent. I don't know, his players play for him. Whatever it is, he's not a great thinker on his feet.
No, he's got a Super Bowl. He's got a Super Bowl on his belt. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's going to carry him a long way with the owners.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. He's safe. The general manager, I don't know. I guess he's safe, too. But just think about this weekend here. Eagles, Phillies, Foles, Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jimmy Butler. That's like whack-a-mole. You stick your head, bam! Seriously.
It's horrendous.
Let's go to David in Philly. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, man.
What's up, Dave?
I can't even tell you what it is, man. I'm just heartbroken. I love every team here, and it just looks like I can't catch a break. From the Sixers to the Flyers to the Eagles and to the Phillies. The only people that's doing good is the Union. And, like, I don't even watch soccer, but it's a heartbreaker. Like I said, all my friends already told me, like, Nick Foles should have stayed. They should have signed Nick Foles, re-signed him.
Yeah, that would have been stupid. At the time, it would have been stupid.
I mean, at the time...
We can say it now, and then okay, but at the time, that would have been the most illogical thing they could have done.
I mean, I understand. Like I said, he wanted to be a starter. And I believe he earned it.
Yeah, okay, but you couldn't choose him over the quarterback you drafted and put all that capital in. It just wasn't feasible.
I understand.
So I don't even know why we keep going down that road. It was, at the time, not feasible to have Nick Foles over Carson Wentz.
I mean, at least kept both of them. At least.
He could have kept both of them.
Either way. It's a heartbreaker.
He signed a big contract for like $20 million as a starter. He couldn't have kept both of them.
Well, it seems like every time we try to get one step ahead, something knocks us down.
But you're not being logical. At the time, it's not a mistake. At the time, the circumstances were such that you either had to take Foles or Wentz. You couldn't have them both. They invested all that capital in the younger guy.
True. And it seemed like the campus was always keep messing us up. Same thing with the Sixers. They get the Mech contract, Tobias, Al Horford, and we get the bottom foot.
Yeah, I know. All right, 610-632-0975. Coming up at the 4 o'clock mark, the Fanatic football poll. Well, somebody, some lucky caller, is going to have a chance to win a quick $100 cash and also to be added in the grand prize drawing for everything that's in our Fanatic football baby pool. It's actually a little football field, and it's filled with good stuff like $1,000 cash and a full year's supply of snacks from Hers and a fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete and a Poulin Pro 21-inch snowblower, and we're adding prizes every day. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. But it's also this.
Yes. This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
The Fanatic Football Pool. If you're the fifth caller, right now on our contest line, 215-263-0975. Fifth caller, 215-263-0975. You'll qualify for our grand prize drawing if you answer a trivia question correctly. But you'll get $100 if you're the fifth caller right out of the chute from Parts Casino and Sports Book. Good luck to you. Hope really you're the fifth caller. All right. Let me get some insight on yesterday's debacle. Wow. Listen, it was a tie, so it wasn't a loss. But in any event, this team is in sad shape. And to extrapolate all the data and the video of what was seen yesterday, we bring in the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. B. West, how you feeling today?
You know, I'm feeling kind of like the Eagles fans, probably all of the fans across, you know, the great city of Philadelphia, disappointed, surprised in a way, and also just wondering, where do we go wrong? Where did we go wrong as a football team that we're in a situation where we're here 3 weeks in and still don't have any victories? That's a shame for a football team that we thought would be contending for playoff berths and hopefully, potentially, Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we're in a bad situation as we speak.
All right, let's get into the crux of the game. Okay, now, they didn't do themselves proud all game long, but in the end, they still have a chance to actually win the game because the Cincinnati Bengals are inept as well, and on that one drive, they gift the Eagles up the field with two pass interference penalties. And so here we are now with a chance that they make the big throw to Zach Ertz. And now, this is before the decision. So the drive before that, they make the big throw to Zach Ertz. They get the false start and the hold. And then the play calling, get back in the field position. What did you see?
Well, I just saw a team that, we all understand that Carson has just been off. But there has been times, there were series where he looked good. There were series that he moved the ball a little bit better than others. I just saw the play calling to be very basic, no creativity. Again, we're looking for motion. We're looking to make it easier on Carson. And to be able to do that, we talk about motions, we talk about shifts, we talk about putting players in different positions. And maybe it's because of the injuries, and I'm sure that certainly has factored in, but I feel like Doug's creativity has just been decreased. And Mike, I have to be honest, that happens sometimes when your quarterback can't throw the ball to the guys in his own jersey, can't throw the ball accurately. That also happens when you have some injuries. And so I kind of understand it, but at the same time, Doug understood what he was going into this game with. He had to understand that if Deshaun is not able to finish, we have to find some wheels to make those types of plays. And unfortunately, he didn't do that.
All right. Now, let's move. Let's fast forward to thinking on your feet as a coach. When you're watching a game in real time and they're set up to try to kick a 59-yard field goal and all right, Matt Pryor makes a boneheaded play. At that point, you're thinking on your feet. What do you do?
Well, I think you have to go for it at that point. You kind of feel that even if at 0-2, even if you give them the ball, let's say you don't get the first down, you give them the ball with maybe 14, 15 seconds left, it's going to be hard for them to get down the field, get set up. And I'm not sure if they had a timeout. I don't think they did. But it's going to be hard for them to get down the field, get set up, and kick a field goal to win the game. You have to feel that way. But the other part to me, and I think this is where everyone is a little bit more upset with Doug, is that he's been so aggressive in other situations that you wouldn't even be thinking about not going for it. This is something that we're going to go for, especially if you can't make the field goal, it's out of the range of the kicker, of Elliott. And so at that point, I wanted Doug to be aggressive, especially based upon how the game has gone, how the season has gone up to this point. And, you know, a split second decision, he decided to kick it and basically not give his team a chance to win the game, which is something that I'm surprised at.
All right, because players look at it, too, that way, right? He's saying, basically, I don't have any faith in you guys to win this game.
Well, yeah, he's saying that, you know, I don't have any faith of converting that 4th-and-12. I also don't have any faith that if we don't convert it, then my defense can hold. And that's the problem, but that you're really doubting both sides of the ball. And I think when you look at it, quite honestly, when you look at the game, there's evidence to reasons why you might want to doubt both sides of the ball, the way that Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd move the ball up and down the field at times during the game. But, you know, listen, you're 0-2. You got to go for broke at some point and play with a little bit of boldness. And unfortunately, Doug didn't do that in that situation. Yeah. And he said it today. He would do something totally different.
Yeah, but he said after the game yesterday, I had to look at it with clear eyes. Dude, you can't afford to have clear eyes the next day. You got to have the clear eyes when you're coaching the game in real time. And it was clear to me he was spooked by the notion of being 0-3 because at 0-2 with a tie, there are fewer wolves at the door for him. And that's just weak.
I think for him it probably feels a little bit better to be 0-2-1. I don't know that it makes it feel anyone for anyone else feel better. But I think there's something to be said about going through all these situations, situational football, in training camp and OTAs, all those different things, because I remember playing and John Harbaugh went through all these situations, quick field goal. Here's the situation. There's 10 seconds left. Can we go out there and get another play and then spike the ball and then run our field goal team on out there? All these things normally are done during training camp and OTAs throughout that process. Unfortunately, some of that was cut short because of COVID. So not to place blame somewhere else, but I think all of those things happen, and that means Doug, because those things didn't happen, all those practices didn't happen, that means Doug has to think a little bit faster on his feet. And yesterday, just it didn't go in his favor as you look at it.
All right, let's look at Carson Wentz, who... listen, I'll just let you explain it. You heard him talk after the game. You saw he did make a couple instinctive plays. He got back to running. I get all that. He missed a wide open Sanders. He threw an interception foolishly where the guy was actually covered. And it didn't matter if the ball was going to be tipped. What is up with the dude?
We see a player playing with zero confidence. He's not playing natural and comfortably. And as an athlete, you want to feel natural. You want to feel comfortable because that's when you get your best play. You just go out there and you're not playing tight. You're playing loose. You're comfortable. And that's what every athlete wants. You want things to slow down for you. So now you see things happening before they even happen. And for Carson, it feels like things have sped up. And things speed up for young quarterbacks that are inexperienced. And at this point, I can tell Carson is not reading defenses very well at this point. But he also is not understanding play concepts. And if you don't understand your own play concept and you don't understand what the defense is going to do, then that's when you throw interceptions. That's when you throw balls right into the arms of people that are on the other team. And we've seen that constantly. Throughout the entire season, we've seen Carson throw interceptions right to the other players. Not that they're running out of the zones and they're in bad position. It just kind of happens. He's throwing the ball right where these players should be in those zones. And that just tells me that he's struggling to read defenses and understanding concepts of his own offense. And for a fifth-year player, there's really no excuse for that. And I'll tell you, it seems like Doug is frustrated by that. I mean, Doug's a quarterback. He understands these concepts better than anyone. And it seems like he's frustrated by Carson not understanding the concepts and making throws to try to win the game and without that being necessary to win. And I think Doug seems to be a little bit frustrated by that.
All right, Brian, this is a mess, and this season looks like it's shot in the butt after three games. Now they don't have any weapons at all now. Rager's out. DeSean Jackson is probably out. Goddard is out. Their bellwether is Greg Ward, who's a slot receiver, used to be a quarterback, and now they've got to go at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and the Ravens in the next three. I mean, what do you do here? How do you actually coach this team through this gauntlet here?
Well, it's certainly going to be tough. We do know that. But we do also know this. We're going back a couple of years that this team rallies around Doug. For whatever reason, they rally around Doug. We have not seen that recently, but they did rally around Doug at the end of last year. They rallied around him, I think, the season before. And so I hope that he can regain the pulse of the team, to regain the confidence of a team to go out there and try to play. You know, I thought going into the game, it was a Doug Peterson game as far as it was going to come down to his play calls. And, yeah, of course, the Bengals were one of the worst run teams in the league. He had to say, we're going to hand the ball to Miles Sanders. It came down to the way that he called the game, and I wanted him to take the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands. He didn't do that. He gave the ball to Carson Wentz, and Carson made some mistakes. I still think your best player, most exposed player on offense is Miles Sanders. Somehow in these games, you have to try to find a way to get him going. But this is a tough road ahead. 49ers, you talk about the Ravens. I mean, these are two of the best teams in the NFL, even with some injuries out there in San Francisco. It's going to be a tough next three games.
It was as bad a weekend as you could have here in Philadelphia, Brian. Eagles, Phillies. I'm looking around. I see Justin Jefferson. I see CeeDee Lamb. I see Jimmy Butler going to the NBA Finals. I mean, it's wretched right now, bro. I see Nick Foles bringing the Bears back.
Everybody that was in Philly or should be in Philly or could have been in Philly, they all had great weeks. We got to hope that at some point we can have one of those weeks here soon.
Yeah. Keep dreaming. Hey, man, thank you. We appreciate you. Good to talk to you on a Monday.
All right, Mike. Take care. All right,
Brian Westbrook, of course, you heard on the pregame show into that as we got ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. Anyway, Brian's brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. All right, let's try to give away some stuff here. All right, we have the fifth caller on our contest line. His name is Brian. He is from Boyertown. Brian, are you with us?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, Brian? Congratulations.
I'm doing terrible.
Yeah. All right, but you won $100.
Yeah,
from Parks Casino. You got $100 in your pocket from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Now we're going to ask you a simple football trivia question. And if you get it right, you're in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. And you know, there's $1,000 in there. There's a year's supply of snacks. There's a fire pit. There's a snowblower and all kinds of interesting memorabilia. Are you ready to go?
Yeah. Can we mix in an Eagles win in there or not?
I can't gift that for you. I'm sorry. So here's your question. He was the first left-handed quarterback to earn a Pro Football Hall of Fame. First left-handed quarterback to earn election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Who is it?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with that dude from, what is his name? The Niners. Steve Young.
You called Steve Young that dude from the Niners? It's correct. You're correct. But I'm disappointed in you. That dude from the Niners.
I'm on the pressure.
All right, man. Congratulations. You have qualified. Hold on a second. He's qualified for the grand prize draw of the winner of Fanatic Football. It's that dude.
Yeah, that guy. That old guy.
Oh, man. Yes.
Did you hear about Joe Montana?
Yeah, somebody broke into his house and he foiled it with his wife.
And they were trying to steal his grandbaby.
Broke in the house.
And his wife who got into the tussle.
Yeah, she started scrapping.
Oh, Joe's wife?
Jennifer.
You know who that is? That's the Noxzema girl.
She's beautiful.
You know the Noxzema girl?
No, Joe Montana's
wife is that blonde who got famous for the Noxzema commercial, the Creamy. With Joe Namath, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it was like the Noxzema shaving cream commercial. She was like real sexy. She went up to Joe Namath. Joe, cream me or something like that.
Oh.
That's who Joe Montana married.
Nice.
The Noxzema commercial girl. Tyrone, you got to look that up.
She's still stunning. I was looking at her pictures today.
Yeah, she's a beautiful
woman.
She's the Noxzema shaving cream girl.
Well, she throws down, too.
Creamy creams me or what's some kind of, you know. We ain't gonna get the commercial.
Let's look it up.
It's not even coming up when I Google.
No. Noxzema commercial.
When I go Joe Montana's wife, girl. Noxzema, nothing. I'll find it.
It's
because he's been married 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the.
Well, this one's the good one because she out here throwing hands.
Mm-hmm. She's like, you're not taking my baby.
Rebecca Gayheart was the girl, but she was.
That was the modern girl.
Yeah, this is the older school. How old is Joe's wife?
62.
All right, so when she's in her 20s, like so 30 years ago.
Original.
Jennifer was the Noxzema girl.
Hmm.
I think she did a commercial with Joe Namath, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'll see if I can find it.
Check it out. I'm looking at it now. I'm trying to figure it out. I can't find it.
We'll dig into this. Sink our teeth in.
No, I guess Farrah Fawcett did the one with Joe. I'm mistaken then. It's my bad. But I think she was the Noxzema girl.
I mean, she looks Joe's like a supermodel.
Joe Montana's wife, not Namath. That's right. Farrah started out as she did the commercial, sexy commercial with Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go Josh in Pottstown. What's up?
Mike, this is not a good time in Philadelphia right now. And we got a serious problem with these three sports teams. And it starts with the general managers. All three general managers can't draft. And because of their inability to draft players, they set their franchises back by giving out horrible contracts. All three general managers hired three do-not coaches that get out coach in all the sports, and all three organizations, star players, have regressed. And it starts with these general managers. I mean, how can Howie Roseman give your $100 million quarterback just Craig Ward? You look around the NFL, you see Murray and the Cardinals. He's throwing out DeAndre Hopkins. Josh Allen, their GM went got Stephon Diggs. It is a travesty that Howie Roseman is not giving this guy anything. I mean, he should be throwing to Jefferson and DK Metcalf, but he can't draft. You look at the Phillies, what they've done. Matt Hancock cannot develop young talent. And because these three organizations cannot draft and develop young players, they set the franchises back in the misery. And that's what we have. All three use analytics. That doesn't help. I mean, what the hell is going on, Mike? I've never seen regression like this in my entire life.
They have taken your soul, man. They have taken the pride that you had in Philadelphia sports. They have taken it.
I mean, it's they got to be held accountable. How this general manager can give your $100 million, Greg Ward, I mean, and the linebacker core out there. I mean, God, there's got to be a veteran out there. And then they just, the best thing that could happen to the Eagles is they lose the next three games. And we can all hope that Howie Roseman never gets the privilege of drafting another player or signing another free agent. Because that's the problem we have, Mike. These three teams do not develop young, skilled players. And that's our problem. That's why we get passed by other organizations. Boston's ahead of us. Why? Because Jason Tatum's progressed. You know, you look at the other teams in baseball, the Yankees, the Dodgers. They have young talent and they spend money. The Phillies can't get it. It starts with general managers in this town, Mike. All three got to go. And then,
Josh, Mike? I'm just letting you roll. I agree with you. Now, what's more realistic? The you got to take it a step at a time, and the one step the Phillies general manager has to go. He's had 5 years now. It's been a failure. So this report that he's going to keep his job is ridiculous. He shouldn't keep his job. And I have nothing personally against Matt Klentak. He just hasn't done a good enough job. And when you haven't, and your season ends like this, you got to go. So now Jeffrey Lurie's not going to make any changes here to his front office or his coaching staff at this point. So that's not going to happen. That's unrealistic. You're going to get a new coach with the Sixers and a new direction. You just have to wait and see. And Flyers, you know, you're expecting progress. So I don't know. It's not a great state right now, Philadelphia sports. It is not prideful to be a Philadelphia sports fan right now. It's just not. There's nothing going on that you could be proud about.
No, I'm upset. This Phillies thing is really bothering me even more than the Eagles a little bit. Because I thought for sure, because of how bad it ended, that today, I figured it was going to happen anyway. But I figured today would be the day that the axe comes down. Apparently there's no axe at all. It's not sharpened. It's not ready. Everybody's just comfortable. So how does we watch that Philly season and everybody just be comfortable? I'm tired of people. People are too comfortable around this city.
I don't think anybody's comfortable. You think people are comfortable right now? There's nobody that's comfortable with what's going on.
No. I'm talking about working on the team.
Yeah, and people are out of their minds trying to fire people and change stuff.
That's the fan. I'm saying the team's comfortable. Howie's not worried. Doug's not worried, and I don't think Klentak's worried. Apparently, he's good.
Listen,
him and McPhail are just real calm.
The only one that has any kind of an impact where you get your hands in there, because he was the one that came in and made a decision on a lot of things with the Phillies, is John Middleton. Now, if John Middleton is looking at this situation and thinking that his general manager needs to keep his job, well, then I lose respect for him. It's a clear situation right now that the Phillies farm system has been horrendous to the point where they had to desperately bring up a guy like Mickey Moniak, who has no business of wearing a major league uniform at this stage of life. That's the best they could have done. Now, if I'm the owner, I go, that's the best you got. That's the best you can do. That's the best trade you've made. And I go, I'm sorry, man, but you haven't done good enough. It's got to go. So that's at Middleton's feet right now.
Report. The early reports are.
Well, I can't believe it. I just can't believe that report. I'm sorry. I can't believe it. If it's true, it's ridiculous. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:30, Mike Missinelli Show. Let's get a Twitter poll update at 4:30 on this angst-filled Monday following a weekend of disappointment. Natalie Agonoff, brighten up our day with the Twitter poll results.
Alrighty. Well, I'll do my best. Over 700 votes on this one today. Tons of Eagles. Quarterback problems yesterday. Were you okay with Peterson punting at the end of overtime yesterday? 11% say yes, don't lose. 89% say no, always try to win.
Alrighty. Thank you very much. By the way, I got to the bottom of this Joe Montana commercial. I had my commercials mixed up. It was Joe Namath with the creamy Noxzema shaving cream. And it was like, let creamy cream ya. And it was Farrah. But fast forward later, it was a Schick razor commercial that Joe Montana was in with her. She was a model in California, and she got this part as she was the sheriff of a western town.
Oh, okay.
And either she gave him a razor or she shaved him, or she smoothed his face afterwards. So that's how they met. It was a shoot. Oh. And she tells the story that she didn't know Joe Montana was. She was just doing modeling stuff. And the agent says, you're going to be working with Joe Montana. She says, who's Joe Montana? So she does this thing. And Joe was a little shy. He's a shy guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is. Apparently he is shy.
That's why he wasn't good at TV, too. Because he
He's not an outgoing guy. But the story says, Jennifer found Joe completely charming, despite or perhaps because of his shyness.
Yeah.
So they do the commercial, and he asked her they were working on the set, and Joe finally mustered up the courage to ask her out to dinner. He fumbled through the invitation, but she finally agreed to go out. So we went to dinner for the first time that they did the commercial. And 6 months into the relationship, Joe proposes.
Oh,
6 months in. Now, yeah, I understand. He's two time. He's been married twice already. So he's, this blonde on the set doing the commercial. And I guess Joe says, let me latch on here. So they're at the dinner. I don't know, Tyrone, you got to give a grade on this.
All right.
They're at the dinner, get the check. Joe writes on the check, what would you say if I asked you to spend the rest of your life with me? On the back of the check.
Yeah. That's a D.
Yeah, that's a little.
So she didn't have an answer, but she didn't say no. So he continued to go out with her, and then he goes for the kill, and he hires a plane to carry a message across the sky, a banner that says, "Jen, will you marry me?" As they were out to dinner one night.
That's way better like that than the one? Check. Yeah, I know why she questioned it.
That also, like,
he's asking me on the back of a check.
That also.
What?
That's a C.
Why? That's nice. I love seeing that on the beach.
It's just expensive. But you're taking a heck of a risk to make sure that someone's going to see it.
Well,
that happened to me recently, the last time, in July. Last time I was off, I was at Cape May.
Yeah.
And somebody had it, and the guy ended up making 1,000 trips to plane because I don't think the woman saw it.
Well, maybe they have like a time frame.
Look at you, Cape May. I was in Cape May Saturday night.
Oh, you were Cape May Saturday?
Yes, are you a Cape May person?
I have now evolved out of the Wildwood sometimes.
You're a Cape Mayer?
I'm becoming
a Cape Maysman?
I'm becoming a Cape Maysman.
I don't know that much about Cape May. So I got a recommendation. Went down and had dinner at a place called the Black Duck.
Oh, okay.
Now, across the street from this place is a, it's set up like a gas station with outdoor pumps, and it's called Exit Zero. Have you seen this place?
Yeah.
Wait, no, I haven't. I was just in Cape May in August. It's right across the street
from this Black Duck place. And they get, they're like, I don't know if it was a gas station or what, but they got, or it was set up that way. They got pumps. It's like an outdoor place, burger joint. They have live music.
Yeah.
But the live music was coming across the street, and they're nice to the Black Duck.
That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
nice. Cape May has some good restaurants.
I ate at the Blind Pig when I was there.
Oh, the Blind Pig?
In Congress Hall.
Uh-huh.
Or the Blue Pig.
Well, this place called, somebody's telling me about a place called the Red Store.
I haven't been there.
It's with the colors.
It's like a general store / restaurant. Type,
okay.
Like, on the table type of thing.
I love Cape May.
Yeah, I haven't spent much time there.
Well,
it's a little bourgeois, isn't it?
It's lovely.
Yeah.
You know, antique-y. People are antique.
A little bit. Yeah. Now, outside of the pier, my great people at the pier in Wildwood, some of the places have not necessarily had a warm enough reception for me.
For a Black man in Cape May?
I mean, no, in Wildwood.
What? Oh, in Wildwood.
Mm.
So Cape May has been better for me
recently. Other than the pier.
The pier's phenomenal.
Outside of the pier, I got to take that. That's almost like not part of the town. That's how awesome that is. And that's
Wildwood is... You know,
lately, that's how this is how
it
it's
has
been.
A certain political slant because it hosted a rally.
I think also there was a lot of hustle and bustle trying to make up money with COVID, and I think they might have been hospitality might have fallen off a bit. While at Cape May, I felt like the people were the service was very good.
Oh yeah, it's delightful.
I didn't get to explore. Rehoboth was always money for me though. I must admit.
Yeah, it's nice. I think we got to make a change. I was just saying out there, like, it's certain as death and taxes.
Yeah.
At the information that came out this weekend, I don't know if we can include taxes, because taxes apparently are not certain either. The President of the United States paid less tax than a mobbed-up pizza parlor, which it's very interesting. So, how much did you make this year? We only cleared $600. Only $600.
That's it.
We only made $600 profit.
That was my favorite. That one and car washes because they reuse all the water.
Yes.
Car washes. I've heard. I know one former Philly who got in a lot of trouble doing that, but because the water you use, they're very profitable businesses. And I've heard some stuff from the car wash and the pizza parlor when it comes to that
stuff.
You
know how much the mozzarella is these days?
They tripled the price. Right? They tripled the price. I had to pay 3 times more I paid last year. Yeah.
I got
to
get the good mozzarella too, because from across the way.
Shipping costs go up. It comes out of my pocket.
All right, let's go to Sean in media. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Yo.
What's up, Sean?
What's up, man? Yeah, that's so funny. I got even plays in Avalon down there, too. But I love going into the places where it's just like cash only. I'm like, what are you doing with all this? Okay, you're going to claim everything.
Well, it's also there. Avoid the credit card fees and go straight. If you could go straight cash, if you own the business, seriously, if I owned a business and I could go cash only and I knew I wasn't hurting my business, I'd do that too.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's what happened to Mac and Manco.
There you go. That's right. Well, they went a little too far.
Mr. Mac's doing 10 years right now. but Cape May is a little bougie, but you're right, though. It's like quaint, it's quiet. That's a good spot. You want to go pick up like an old vase somewhere or vase.
If you're an antiquer, it's a good little town.
Yeah, but you're not going down there to rip it up.
Exactly.
I have no idea what's going on anymore. Like, I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'm like, is this guy really going to be content just to tie this game? And here's my thing. He kept saying, he's like, well, we know that Jake Elliott kicked one from this distance. I'm like, okay, well, then why are you just trying to get to that distance? Wouldn't you want to give that guy an extra 10 or 15 yards? Like, he was still just running those dink and dunk plays to get an extra two, just to get to the threshold of his distance.
I don't know why it's so hard, man. I just don't know why it's so hard. You got a chart in front of you. I need 6 yards. All right, this block says I can use these plays. Like, that's what he's supposed to have in front of him.
That's what he's supposed to have in front of him. And then you see the line there. I'm like, yeah, but I'd rather give him a little more cushion. And then, okay, 4th and 12. Like, Herm, you coach to win the game. You don't coach to lose.
I don't understand why they would waste plays when you can get, all right, I got to only get 10 yards here to get my kicker a chance. So, bing, bing. But end the story. All right, let's kick it.
Like you said, like 19 said, they don't have a timeout. And then at that point, like, I think you'd have much more respect in this town if you said, you know, we're going for it here. We're going to try. And there's no way that they're going
to
get down.
Well, but isn't he supposed to have, like, the biggest testicles on the East Coast?
You know, and
excuse my French. He wrote a book about his testicles, for crying out loud.
I'm so sick and tired. And thank God he didn't have his arrogant attitude today. He put that to bed. And you know what? Yeah, you won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. That's great. But you know what? Like, this is our new norm. What happened? So is this our new norm? Like this, Chuck?
Yeah.
What's that fat bastard doing? Like, readjusting his legs there. When you were supposed to be the starting left tackle, and now you're the left guard, you're out there for a field goal. Why are you moving?
Well, that's a young kid who again, the moment was too big for him. But it's like, you know, you could have made it a lot easier. That whole scenario didn't have to happen that way. You made it a lot easier for you, and you got in the field goal range the previous series, and they didn't have to worry about this. But like, yeah, even, like, I'm looking at this. These guys, like, he swears by this analytical staff that he has, right? He's mentioning the guy's name. What's the guy's name? Ryan Pagnetti or something?
Yeah, that's something like his chief analytical guy.
So I'm looking at this this analytical. It's called EDJ Sports, and it's completely analytical. So they came up with their analytical database and examination this weekend on what the top five worst coaching decisions were. Number one was the Titans.
What they do?
Where he went for a field goal instead of going for it. He went for a field goal, and they had this stat called game winning chance or win probability.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And so he went for the field goal. Gostkowski made the field goal, but the actual game-winning chances, it was 34.8%. And so, like, it was the wrong decision by analytics.
Right.
The second worst analytical decision comes out the Eagles. They punt the ball, and their optimal game-winning chance win probability was 60.1% if they pass it and 51 if they punt it. So that turns out as the statistical change was the second worst decision.
Yeah,
that makes sense. By their analytical, what they figured out, computer-wise.
Right. That makes sense. And I still don't understand how.
So what my point is, they have that analytical staff that's making these kind of decisions.
That should tell him,
right,
this is a bad call.
The analytics say it's better to throw a pass here to try to convert it. Right. That's the analytics. So they've got that covered. They should have their instinct covered because you're a coach and you're thinking on your feet. So that decision that they did should be the last thing that happens.
You're right. And also, I thought, let's say you have to throw at least a decent pass to get it deep, 4th and 12.
Uh-huh.
What if you get it in illegal hands to the face or illegal contact and it's 5 yards in the automatic first down? I don't give a darn about the first down. You get the 5 yards back right there, and now you're kicking the same field goal you were lined up to do. Those things happen. They're not going to call pass interference most likely, but if somebody's blatantly hitting a guy in the face, which can just happen if you actually run a play,
yeah.
I don't understand. Nothing about that makes sense. And Carson has to be mad at himself, like you said, and then mad at us. But he can't get mad at anybody else as long as he thinks he's doing awesome.
Yeah.
That's why he has to break that shell, because as soon as he makes himself vulnerable, he also is allowed to attack others.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, just let's fake like everything's hunky-dory.
That's the problem.
He got to stop. Like, yeah. Like somebody that knows him, like not a coach, somebody that knows him in his life, needs to smack him.
Tell him to stop.
To wake him up.
Stop being a fugazi.
Yeah, like enough with
Come
this.
On.
Don't act like you're happy.
That's it.
You're miserable. There's no way you like this organization right now, the way they've treated you. There's no way you're happy with your play. Be a human for once. Stop being a robot all the time, because that might be some issues with the teammates. You can't lead anybody being phony.
True. It's
be
true.
Real.
It was really kind of eye-popping the way he cavalierly did that post-game thing. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's a 3-minute break, so we're back with your phone calls. 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:47 on the Mike Mussell Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get back to the phone lines. A lot of people want to chat about this weekend development. Let's go, Dave and Yardley. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave?
How you doing? Hey, my points have been covered by Westbrook when I was, but I'm going to mention it again anyway. Doug did more damage to the team with the decision not to go for it, because he's telling the kicker he doesn't have confidence in him to even give him a chance to win the game. And he's telling the defense he doesn't have confidence in them. If we go for the fourth down and don't get it, and we don't, or we kick and don't get it, I don't have confidence my defense is going to keep him out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it wasn't so much. Listen, the kicker is a shot in the dark, so it's not like you don't have confidence. 64 yards is a long kick. So I don't think that was a matter of confidence as it was sensibility. So if you don't think he can hit from 64, then go for it. Because it's impossible for the other team to beat you with that little time left if you like throw an incomplete pass and they take over where they're taking over.
How bad does our record have to be for us to get the number one all draft pick and go for Trevor Lawrence from Clemson?
Well, I don't know.
two
and 14, maybe.
Yeah. We got a shot at that, I think.
No, they might. They might have a shot at that. Who knows? The only problem is this division is so horrendous. Like, they're going to beat Washington next time they play. They'll probably beat the Giants twice. They're terrible. And Dallas is probably the best, but they're 1-2, too. So there's too many wins left on schedule for the Eagles.
And then my other thing is, why do those defenders act like they're all that and doing a dance after they do what they're supposed to do once in a while?
That annoys me. And you know who annoys me more than anybody? It's that Jalen Mills does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't made a play. He cost them a touchdown. Whether he missed a tackle and it was a pass interference. And he's making a play and he's flexing. And that other dude, Roby Coleman.
Yes.
Like the play was, he didn't even cause the play. It was a short ball on the play, and he got there late. He was beat on the play, and he starts flexing.
Yeah. Yep. That's the two things. And I don't even want to get started with the Phillies, because I've been on that bullpen all season long, and it wasn't until the last, I don't know, 10 games or so, they started saying we're the worst bullpen in history of baseball. Yeah. And who got all those guys? Who filled that bullpen with those guys?
It was the guy that should lose his job. I'm sorry. Listen,
exactly.
I don't want to come off like a cur that I'm the guy who wants to fire people, right? I don't. I evaluate, and I'm very fair in my evaluation. And it comes a point in time where if you haven't done it in 5 years, you haven't made any progress, and this team hasn't gotten into play. It's been 9 years since they've been in the damn playoffs. This was a year where they were supposed to get in the playoffs. They went out, they did this, did that, but they failed. They don't have a farm system now. You saw the depletion of their farm system was unable to help them at the end when they needed help. That means it's a failure of the front office. And 5 years is plenty of time. I'm sorry. I like the guy. I have talked about nice little baseball chats with Matt Klentak. But come on, man.
I can't believe this weekend, the Phillies are lucky that the Eagles didn't win.
Yeah. Oh, they are, because we're off them. We haven't really talked about them that much.
If the Eagles had a routine win, we'd be able to dismiss it because we know the Bengals stink. We would have said, okay, they won. Eagles won 24-14, whatever, and we'd be grilling them. But because the Eagles lost, they're being able to hide. But I don't think they have to sell tickets, and I know that Bryce Harper's box office and all that kind of, they're going to get lost. They are. They better. They could get lost.
This regime hasn't worked at any level except for the signing of Bryce Harper, which is more the owner than anything. It hasn't worked at any level. It hasn't worked on the field. It hasn't worked in the farm system. It hasn't worked with acquisitions. So, like what more do you need?
Right.
It just doesn't work. And it hasn't worked. Like, they hire scouts who are supposed to give them play. Like, okay, you can go, well, he doesn't make every decision. Yeah, but he's hiring people that are recommending guys that aren't good enough to help you.
And the owner gave him the sixth highest payroll. So while I know we talked about the luxury tax, the owner wrote the, the sixth highest payroll in the game to miss the playoffs in a year where it's almost impossible to miss. They didn't need to be 500. They would have got in at 29 and 31.
Your watch has been a failure. I'm sorry. But it is what it is. 5 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, up next.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, and we are not done talking about this game with expert analysis. Earlier, you're going to hear Brian Westbrook, and in a minute, you're going to hear Ron Jaworski. The 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDED. Visit goguida.com. When I have our next guest on, I would like to go first with the quarterback. So let's bring in the great Ron Jaworski. And Ron, let's talk about Carson.
Well, Michael, great to be with you today on a very disappointing Monday afternoon. Clearly, you know, you got to discuss the quarterback first. And I just think of this statement that Sam Darnold made last year, the New York Jets quarterback, during a Monday night game when they had him wired for the game. And they came out of one of the breaks, and one of the comments made was, "I'm seeing ghosts."
Yeah.
And as a quarterback, I know exactly what he means. And I think that's where Carson is right now. He's not seeing the field with any clarity whatsoever. And the term that is used is he's seeing ghosts. And that's not a good thing, by the way. And he's got to work his way through it. And until he is able to get confidence in himself and trust in himself and belief in himself and confidence in himself, he's going to struggle. He's a guy that needs like an oil change because his elbow and his shoulder are very squeaky right now. From a mechanical standpoint, he doesn't have the confidence to make the throws that he can make.
Ron, I don't know what the proper way to handle this is, but I watched him after the game, and he's going down the route of denial. Like, he gives the impression that, just, you know, a couple of bad throws here. You know, I made a couple good throws, a couple of bad throws. Those things are going to happen. Now, I don't know if that's the proper way to handle it. If Darnold admitted he was seeing ghosts, at least he's admitting to himself, which I think is a good thing to do. Carson seems to be in denial. Do you have any reaction to that?
I would expect him to be a little more angry. I think most guys, when they're in this slump like they are, and certainly six interceptions in three games is awful. And they have been bad interceptions, you know. That's the disappointing thing. It's not like, you know, freaky plays, fluky plays, receiver breaking routes, blah, blah, blah. I've been on Carson, no question. And sometimes you just got to dig deep, and you got to play a little ticked off. You know, you got to play that way. Now, again, I think he played incredibly hard yesterday, incredibly hard. You know, he ran, he dove, he did everything he could possibly do to help his team to win the game. He makes a great run to get that game tied up. You know, I mean, he played hard. I give him all the credit in the world for that. But right now, the smartness isn't there right now. The turnovers and inaccurate throws continue to plague the Eagles.
You know, anger's a good word, because I just wrote that down before you even said it. Like I would have, and this is just me, or maybe it would have been you. Let's look at the two throws. The one that was tipped and was the interception, he blew off as, like, well, you know, when the ball's tipped, blah, 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 blah. And then and when he misses Sanders, he goes, well, you're gonna hit some, you're gonna miss some. I would have said, yeah, I'm angry at myself for missing those two plays. That was a bad read. I gotta be better than that. I'm better than that. And it's like I don't know. I'm missing something with this guy.
Well, Mike, he had no business on the first interception directing the ball where he was directing it. If it wasn't tipped, it was still going to be intercepted. The network showed a great angle of that from the end zone. You could see there was no window to throw the football into. It was going to be picked off by somebody. The underthrow to Ertz was a bad throw. And what kind of bothers me is he can make that throw. That's why I'm saying, you know, he's got to play with a little more anger, a better, more confidence in himself. But that's a throw he can make. I've seen him make that throw. He badly underthrows the football. The one to Sanders, come on, high school quarterbacks make that throw. Yeah, I mean, you got to make that throw. This is the National Football League where guys are throwing, you know, 75-80% completion percentage in games. It's arena football now. It's, you know, stops or you make a couple stops, you win games. It's chuck and duck, as my friend Merrill Hodge used to like to call it. You know, that's what it's become. It's become a wide open passing game. And you know, when you're missing throws like that and you get off the field, you put your defense in a quandary.
All right. See, here's the thing. I think you can agree with it. This is a quarterback whose confidence is shot. And you're now asking a guy to get his confidence back with very limited weapons. The tight end is now out. DeSean Jackson is out. Alshon's not ready to come back. You're throwing Hightower in there for a million snaps. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing out there. The only reliable wide receiver, and was a quarterback, is Greg Ward. Like, how do we expect them to get it back right now offensively?
Mike, it's going to be difficult. You know, last week, the term I used is the quarterback was broken and the team was broken. You know, there was a very disappointing performance last week against the Rams. And I'm saying, I've got great confidence in Doug and the staff. I really do. I'm thinking, okay, they'll get this turned around. But right now, I mean, I can't say it's broken. It's going to be fixed. The way they played yesterday, that wasn't a very good football team, by the way, that they tied. You know, and to me, I almost look at it as a loss, you know, and our dear friend Herman Edwards, you know what he always said, you play to win the game. Well, he didn't win the game. And it's disappointing.
Yeah. The
only lifeline we have right now, Mike, is the NFC East is so god awful. You know, 7-8-1 might win a division.
I can't see the Eagles getting seven, but you said the Herman Edwards thing, we play to win the game, which leads me to my next point. The coach did not clearly play to win that game yesterday. He clearly played it not to lose a game, so he wouldn't be 0-3. Now, we expect our coaches to know what they're doing, to think on their feet. And when you look at that situation, after the game, he said, I need to look at it with clearer eyes to see. And then apparently he had clearer eyes today because he said, I should have gone for it. But in real time, he makes a decision that kind of says to his team, we're not good enough to win the game. Well, I'm afraid to lose it. What did you think of that sequence?
Yeah, I thought, and this is just me, I think I know how Doug thinks, and I love the aggressive attitude he's had on going for fourth and down and going for 2-point conversions and trying to instill. It's not necessarily you're going for it and all that. It's instilling confidence in your players that you believe in them, that you're going to give them the chance to make him look good by winning the game. I thought they were going to go for 2 points and try to win the game in regulation. If you got a play that you really like and these coaches work, you know, burn them into it all, if they think they got a play that will work and going for two, hey, go for two and try to win that game in regulation. So, I mean, he didn't do it, and I've got no issue with that. I'm just saying, based on the history of Doug Peterson and his aggressive attitude and, you know, basically believing in his players that they're going to make him look good, I really thought he was going to go for two and try to win the game. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or different. That was my gut feeling at that time. The 59-yard field goal, we know that can be made. The 64-yarder, again, I'm sure Dave Phipp, when Jake Elliott was on the sideline, you know, what's your distance? I was a holder for the majority of my career. There's always constant communication. Look at the wind. What's it doing? You know, wait, what's our cutoff line? Is it 61, 62, 59? So there probably was some dialogue, and either Dave Phipp or Jake Elliott said, that's out of my range. But, you know, hey, that, that's not my call. But again, thinking about it, the way Doug coaches, you know, hey, let's give it a shot here, guys. I trust Jake. Like the, you know, the what's the kick that really got the Eagles on the positive track to their Super Bowl win? Jake Elliott, 61-yard field goal. You know, some guys muster up enough because the adrenaline rush they get. That 62, 63 limit becomes 64, 65. I've been around enough kickers in my life. When the adrenaline flows, their leg gets a little bit stronger. So I'm thinking, well, is there 19 seconds left? If you, even if he kicks and misses, they're going to get the ball there with 12 seconds, 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Not enough time. And put at least have the belief in your defense, not going to give up, you know, a big play that's going to, you know, give the Bengals a field goal to win it.
Right, but even if you don't kick the field, decide not to kick the field goal, and you try to convert a 4th-and-12, they can't possibly, even if you incomplete that, the only thing, like, even if it's intercepted, they can't win. So the risk is you could make it, or B, if you don't make it, they can't win anyway where we're giving them the ball with no timeouts and 12 seconds left on the clock.
I wouldn't say you can't win. It's not like they're going to win. I mean, they could throw a Hail Mary. We've all seen some crazy things happen late in ball games. I won't say they can't win, but it's the chance of them winning is minuscule because of the time left on the clock and where they get the football. Who knows? Pass interference, crazy stuff that happens in the National Football League, as we know. But I would have liked to have seen the Eagles take a more aggressive approach, which is more of the personality of Doug Peterson, their head coach. Yeah. I wouldn't have any problem with it at all.
I got it, Rusty. But see, that's what's got to be figured out in live action as a coach. I don't think the guy is that great a thinker because he didn't have that figured out that the chances that the Bengals were going to win that game if we took either a field goal shot or a pass shot is probably 10%. And he should know that.
I don't know what he was thinking. I wasn't in his head. But again, I will agree with you. The chances of the Bengals winning are still very remote if you attempt the field goal or you attempt a fourth down pass.
All right. Where are they? At San Francisco next week with a depleted lineup and a quarterback whose confidence is shaken. At Pittsburgh, the Ravens. Then what?
The Steelers. The Packers.
Yeah, where are, I mean, this almost looks like a disaster, and they're only 0-2-1.
Yeah, well, and the other thing you look at right now is this roster. You know, the number of players that are hurt. You're counting on rookie players. And I know you mentioned John Hightower, and, you know, now with DeSean Jackson, how much can you now count on DeSean being a guy that you want to be, you know, your leader in the passing game? I mean, he can't stay on the field. He can't stay healthy. Now you're going to be counting on a lot of young players. You know, how long is Jason Peters going to gut it out? You know, and he's playing just beaten up right now. You know, when he gets a little help, he's fine. When he's asked a single block, he struggles a little bit. So the offensive line still isn't where it needs to be to, you know, and just think about I always think of this, where was one of the staples of this team is these offensive linemen out in front of these bubble screens. They get nothing out of these screens anymore. Not because they're ineffective, because they don't have the linemen to get out in front of them anymore. They're whiffing on guys or can't get out there. So there's a lot of issues right now with this football team. The secondary, we saw the same thing yesterday that we saw against the Rams. Linebackers, safeties, peering into the backfield, looking and getting out of position. The Bengals ran so many plays similar or replicated the Rams game plan. They got guys open on simple reads. They've got basic, simple plays because the Eagles secondary linebackers continue to look in the backfield.
Ron, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to the big show, the Ron Jaworski Show, on Wednesday night. Where will you be this Wednesday?
Yeah, we'll be at Valley Brook, and you know, my buddy Adam Kaplan, who's a real insider, gets great information. Mike, I didn't get a chance to break the tape down yet today because I went out to Mike Quick's first tee golf outing, but I'm heading home now, and it's the first thing I'm going to plug in because I got to try to figure this out. What's wrong with the football team?
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you, man.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Listen, I know he likes Doug, has respect for Doug, but you know, beyond the obvious problem of Carson Wentz, that game could have been managed to a win, and it wasn't. And that falls on a coach who is just not a thinker on his feet. Tim in Lehigh Valley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Hey, how are you today?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, I want to say the one thing that's worse than watching that Eagles game yesterday was listening to it on the radio. With the way Merrill Reese disrespected Joe Burrow by pronouncing his name wrong, even though the guy sitting next to him kept correcting him over and over and over again.
Well, I don't know if it was intentional disrespect, but...
The guy's been the only man they talked about in the last year.
I got it. It shouldn't happen, but, you know, some guys get older and they have little glitches, you know.
So. Yeah, but somebody could have whispered in his ear, hey, the guy's name is
Yeah, Burrow. But sometimes it doesn't resonate when you get a little older and, you know.
Okay, the only other thing, or one other thing I'd like to mention is, are we now done comparing Carson Wentz to Dak Prescott? They're going two different directions right now.
Yeah, well, that's usually a sliding scale, so I wouldn't get all...
Well, I live in an area with a lot of Eagles fans.
Yeah.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and yeah. I've been hearing nothing about how great Carson Wentz was for how long.
Yeah, I wouldn't get all gooey. Listen, bro. I wouldn't get all gooey about your guy. All right?
Cause he goes up and down,
so there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, right now I will say you're in a better position than any Eagle fan is.
Okay.
Even though you're a turncoat from the Lehigh Valley who really should be an Eagle fan.
I grew up in the 70s back when Dallas was good.
Oh, yeah, and you had little footy pajamas with a little ass.
Oh, good for you.
You had an ass flap in the pajamas. I get it. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear any more. I'm tired of those stories, too. I'm in no mood for that.
You're 70 years old now, man. Now you're talking about the 70s.
Sean and Wayne. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Sean?
I hate to be this guy and do it, but I've been hearing this for too long, at least since last October with Carson. We can admit he's got a problem, right?
Yeah, you got to do me a favor and turn whatever you have on in the background off.
That's you, Mikey. My bad.
That's all right.
I've been hearing since last October that Carson's got a problem. We've been seeing, ever since that lower back injury, something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that are pretty close to the situation say that maybe he's got a little bit dependency problem on whatever was going on.
A what?
He was making up something about Carson that we can't just let him make up.
I didn't even hear what he said.
It's for the best.
Was he going down that road?
Yeah.
Oh, that was stupid.
And that's not out there. So we shouldn't do that. He's playing
absolutely not.
He's playing football terribly. That's enough. I don't need this. We don't need to make up.
I didn't hear it in real time.
Yeah, that's not something that's actually out there.
Come on, man.
And shouldn't be speculated.
Right, it shouldn't be speculated.
Christie's a Christian man.
His football is his problem. Right. He stinks at playing football.
Yeah, Daryl in Northeast Philly. Daryl, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Daryl.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Daryl?
Hey, I call enough so you guys probably know I blame Doug for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't even put this on Doug. That's like, you know, blaming a criminal for stealing. I mean, he is who he is. He's going to make poor choices every game. He's not going to get away from that. This game could have
been
won.
Well, that's not good since he's managing the freaking game.
Well, it's not good, but it is. It's not good, but it is what it is. But this game could have been won. And the other part is I think he actually thought through it. As crazy as that sounds, I don't like the choice he made. But
he didn't think through it. The only thing he thought about was not losing.
Let me run this past you and tell me. Mm-hmm. Then
yeah.
You tell me. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's going to kick the field goal because he's afraid that if he something bad can happen. I mean, that's in his head right now.
Yeah.
Bad things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's afraid of coming to a press conference with something bad happening, I think. But so he's thinking, okay, we can throw a pick. Two picks already been thrown. No one has more fumbles except for little Timmy Jenkins in Lansdale. And he's butterfingers while he's waiting to play football than Carson Wentz. No one else has more fumbles in the history of football in the last, at quarterback. So he's afraid of that. If he misses that field goal, the one after the penalty, if he misses it, they don't even have to hike the ball to have a shorter field goal. It'd be 1 yard. So all this is running through his head. I think he quickly...
Yeah, it's not. They would have had to complete a pass. And they completed
the ball would have been, you get the ball.
That's not true.
The ball goes, You get the ball with
It wasn't on the 46, but even
after the 5-yard penalty, what yard line was it?
Let's see it right now where it is. It's the
after the 5-yard penalty.
41. Let's see. It was the 46.
Exactly.
It was at the Cincinnati 46.
Yeah, it's got to be on your 46 for you to kick a 64-yard field goal.
Yeah, so that's a 62-yard, 63-yard field goal.
And how much is it for them without hiking the ball? 1 yard shorter. That's what I'm telling you. It's 1 yard shorter.
Yeah, okay, so
that's not even
But forget about the field goal, right? We're not even talking about the field goal. If they go for it and they throw a pass, then there's no way that Cincinnati can come down the field and win the game. They can't.
I agree.
It's impossible. So either way, whether he thought not going for the field goal or not going for it by trying to complete a pass was faulty thinking.
I agree. But some people think he should have kicked the field goal. The field goal should have
Whatever. There's two things you can do there. One is you have faith in your kicker that he can make that in which you win the game. The other thing is you complete the pass and you can win the game. Or the other thing is if you incomplete the pass, they get the ball at a yard line where they can't possibly win. So all that stuff has to click, click, click through your head. That's why you're a coach.
Okay.
I mean, really, it's fundamental thinking. He should have the instinct, or somebody should say, "Coach, we go for it here. They can't possibly win the game. All right, let's go." Look at my chart. Let's do pass play to the tight end. We may get 12 yards out of this, in which case we'll kick the field goal and win the game, or it's incomplete and they take over where they can't possibly have a play down the field to set up the field goal to win the game. It's just simple thinking.
I agree. I'm still shocked. I'm shocked that anybody would take the other side.
All right. Interesting. In the NBA just happened, and I wonder if the Sixers would be interested in this. And maybe this is what they've been holding out for.
Oh.
Doc Rivers has just been fired as the coach of the Clippers. Now, maybe through the pipeline, Elton Brand thought that was going to happen, and he'd rather have Doc Rivers as the head coach of this team. Tyrone, I know you're not a big fan of Doc.
No, he's blown a lot of 3-1 leads. Too many. Is he probably better than Brett Brown? Yeah. Is he the best available? I don't know.
All right, let's just go through the threesome.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, D'Antoni, Lou. Who are you going with?
To me, D'Antoni is one for me. Doc 2, Lou 3. But it's very close between 2 and 3. Like, I could go
with I got to be honest with you. I'd go Doc 1, D'Antoni 2. I think Doc has more of a feel for winning than D'Antoni does.
He might, but I don't think he's as good of an X and O's man.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But
that's interesting. Interesting little news there.
You know.
Because they haven't made a call yet. Maybe this is what they're waiting for through the pipeline.
Been over a month. Other teams have hired coaches.
You know, guys that are in the know, hey, Doc's going to get fired. Everybody knows it in the business. All right, well, hang in there.
He does have the clout to do what you've asked. Mm-hmm. He absolutely, I don't care what his contract is. Mm-hmm. If Doc comes to a press conference and says, "I sat Ben because he didn't shoot."
Yep.
He has the clout to do it. Same thing with Embiid. Why didn't Embiid play more than 20 minutes? Because he's out of shape. No one questions Doc.
Mm-hmm.
D'Antoni doesn't even have that amount of clout.
You're right.
So if you want to get that done, he's the choice because he can do.
Interesting.
He does have the most clout of anybody available.
All right. 610-622-0975. We'll take a break. We'll come back down the home stretch of the show. On a Football Monday, by the way, Football Monday is brought to us by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season with flexible financing options for every budget. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, just visit nopaybryant.com. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Plug in.
Play on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer. Your family. Visit FamilyAutos.com.
Barzetta in the morning.
He has not been a good quarterback. He has been a bad quarterback. He has been able to salvage a couple of games at the end of a season. I don't see it happening this year because this quarterback can't do that. Carson Wentz is not good enough to pull that together, even in the craptastic NFC East that we are all witnessing right now.
The Anthony Gargano Show.
I don't think I've encountered a more torturous weekend ever. Things have been bad in this town, and we've had to deal with a lot of ugliness. It's what you would imagine hell to be like.
Mike Missinelli.
Here is the coach who said, I gotta look at him with clear eyes, meaning he choked at the moment. He was more afraid to lose the game than to win the game. The thought that prevailed in his head was this. I can't lose this game. I'd be 0-3.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic.
The voice of the Philly sports fan.
Yeah, when you're 0-3, the Wolves are at the door howling. You're 0-2-1. It's a little kinder. Final poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Final numbers, Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have 799 votes on this one today. Tons of Eagles quarterback problems yesterday. Were you okay with Peterson punting at the end of overtime yesterday? 11% say yes, don't lose. 89% say no, always try to win. So,
all right, 11% say yes, don't lose. All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. Now, I wanted to touch on this. It's not an important thing, but it was something that I think if you were listening to the post-game press conference and watching on NBC Sports Philly, a very weird moment popped up. Now, if you remember several days ago, the head coach got a little ticked off at a question by a guy from Philly Voice named Jimmy Kemsky, where he said, is it Doug? Is it mechanics make lack of mechanics making Carson Wentz miss layup throws? And Carson and then Doug went all, I played in the NFL and you didn't on him, and said there's no throw. You ever play quarterback in the NFL? There's no layup throws. Blah 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 blah. So yesterday the scenario kind of replays itself out, courtesy of the Inquirer's Jeff McClain, who in the middle of the press conference, I thought it was a prank. I thought somebody had come in and pranked the Zoom. But it was Jeff McClain's turn to ask a question, and this is what he asked.
Doug, are Carson's mechanics the reason why he's missing layup throws?
No.
Yeah, all right. So he blew it. I didn't hear the no part. I thought he could blew it off, and they went quickly to another question. Now, let me just say this. If Jeff McClain, and I like the fact that he's an aggressive reporter, and he does ask some hard questions without regard to whether the coach is going to like him. But if you felt aggrieved that this head coach tried to embarrass one of your brethren, well, then you handle it at the time. You see, when you carry it on, you try to waste everybody's time and play out like a personal feud by being snarky like that, it's both unprofessional and childish. And it's what makes the media not be trusted sometimes. I couldn't believe that the guy did that and wasted his question with nonsense like that when he could have asked a question that could have gleaned some information that he could have used in his story. So there's that. All right, let's go Darren in Mount Airy. Darren, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Darren.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Darren?
Oh, Mike, listen. You know, I was a little tough last week, but let me just say this. It's tough being a Philly fan right now. From watching Butler in Miami from watching, used to be ace, Nolan just pitch horrible. The Phillies last losing the last eight games, but how with that line, the Brazil, Everly lead line beat up on the Flyers, watching the Eagles defense, like that's all tough. But let me say this, Ron Jaworski, I like what he said earlier. He spoke two good points. He talked about what Wentz is seeing out there on the field right now. See, Wentz is not seeing what all those premier quarterbacks are seeing right now. So he's throwing into windows where that guy, the Jets quarterback last year, because Ron spoke on it.
Darnold.
And he's seeing, yeah. Right, exactly. Wentz is going in that direction. But let me tell you something Wentz did do, and I was happy to see him do it, and that was run with strength. So that told me something right there, because up to this point, I didn't think he had a lot of confidence in running. So he did do that right. But now, Mike, Ron also talked about another point. He talked about the brokenness of the team, not just the quarterback, but the coach as well. And when we got a broken quarterback and a broken coach, that's a bad combination for these next four or five games we're about to have.
Yeah, I wish they both those guys acknowledged that they're a little broken. I don't think either of them do right now. So I don't know if there's a way to improve. You don't think that you need to improve. Henry in Tampa. What's up, Henry? How you feeling today?
Not too good, but it's a good day in Tampa Bay.
I'm sure it is. And the Buccaneers, I should have been all over that game. The Denver Broncos are all banged up. How did I miss that game to bet on?
I knew the Phillies wouldn't have a chance to beat the Rays. I knew that from the beginning.
Well, I didn't expect them to get swept. As it turned out, one flimsy win would have gotten them into the playoffs with those other mutts losing as well.
Oh, like I said, I know I'll give you my opinion. You might not like it. Everybody's picking on my boy Carson Wentz. Doug needs to go and Howie needs to go. And I'm on call of Eagles organization. I don't care if they take my call. I want to tell Jeff Lurie, you got to step up and do your job. Do something with Howie.
They're not going to do that, Henry.
They got to do it.
Well, they're not going to do it now, certainly. You know that,
They should have hired Mike McCarthy. They should have hired Mark McCarthy.
Yeah, you can't cry over spilled milk, Henry. Or spilt milk, whatever that hackneyed phrase is.
Spilt milk. Spilled.
Spilt. I don't know. Whatever it is. Let's go, Tommy in Pittsburgh. Tommy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tommy.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Tommy? How you doing?
You there?
Yes, gotcha.
Okay, well, I wanted to say thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to the other stuff. It's been some great radio. I know you guys love your sports out there in Philly. I actually was a little busy yesterday. I didn't find out till today you guys had a tie.
Yeah.
I actually found out because I was listening to my sports radio here in Pittsburgh. And they're going to be listening to your station here in a little bit.
Is that right?
Yeah, I wanted to know how it was going. Because actually, you know, we're 3-0.
Yeah.
And somehow our sports talk isn't excited about it. Somehow they're like, well, I've seen 90 good minutes and I've seen 90 minutes. I question. That's how our sports talk
is. Tell us, people in your town, to shut the hell up. Because we're suffering here through a miserable existence. So I don't care about you damn 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike, thanks. And thanks for the comment on the Pittsburgh. Cynthia Crosby.
3-0, and they're crying. Stop it.
That's bad enough up there. Hey, I guess I'm the only authentic Eagles fan because I look back at Carson Wentz. I see a franchise quarterback. I go all the way back to the film of last year's Minnesota game when it actually started. And how many hits he took in that game. And I thought, this is your franchise quarterback, and this is how you're protecting your franchise quarterback. And then yesterday I'm watching Barrett Brooks before the game talk about possibly putting somebody else in until Seth Joyner talked them, you know, off a fence. And I mean, I blame coaching. I blame coaching 100%. This is the game.
Wait a minute. First of all, who was Barrett saying to put in? Who do they have?
The backup, the kid they drafted.
Who Mailata?
Yeah.
Oh, good and Lord. Barrett Brooks was actually endorsing Mailata to play ahead of Peters?
And he said, I hope we
come on,
see
Barrett.
Seth Joyner.
Seth Joyner stepped in and said, no, he's like, come on.
You gotta get out of my ladder. Come on. He has taken a leap of faith that's unrealistic.
Yeah. But the thing is, I blame coaching because look at the teams. Look at the year the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, how much Carson had to run the ball. Look at Baltimore last year, how much Lamar Jackson had to run the ball. You know, when you don't have an offensive line that's going to, and the receivers that are getting open, okay, you need a quarterback that can run the ball, and you need to make sure, you know, he could get hurt, but you need a quarterback that can run because they kept Carson protected in the pocket. He doesn't have the confidence to throw. These guys are not getting open. I watched the Bears game too. Foles had people open. It's not that he's baby Jesus, okay? People were open for Foles. Anyone could have hit him. I could have. But,
well, listen, I can't take anything away from Nicky on that last touchdown pass that won the game. That was a great throw. And he's standing there like a man, took the hit, boom.
That was a great one. The second one.
The one Allen Robinson?
That was all him.
Yeah, it was Allen Robinson.
That was Robinson. I'm saying that was all Robinson.
Yeah.
The last one, Foles, that was fantastic.
He told him to run to the L.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go to the L, I'll get you there.
Yeah, that was the last throw was a great throw by Foles.
Yeah, it was a great throw.
The second touchdown was just here, and the guy ducks under and spin. Like, that was all the receiver. But
that's Penn State.
That was Penn State.
Yeah,
Penn State. Yeah.
We are.
You are.
Getting close. Counting it down now.
Yeah, about that.
A lot of upsets in with some of the other conferences.
Football season coming up.
That opens the door for the Knicks. I hope they don't choke.
See, I see what you're doing.
Huh?
I see what you're doing. You're setting it up because you know they're not going to beat Ohio State. So you're setting it up like, well, they got a chance to beat Ohio State. If they don't do it, they choked.
No, I actually think that they're going to upset Ohio State.
You do, huh?
And lose to somebody else, and then Ohio State still makes the playoff. But I do think they're going to beat Ohio State.
It happens all the time.
And then they lose to somebody else.
Of course.
And then
Minnesota beats them.
There you go. Something like that.
All right. Guess what's coming up next? And it should be a corker. Sound off. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for sound off. Buckle your seatbelt. We're coming in for a landing. Allah. Sound off. It's 771-9705. 610-771-9705. You got something to say? Hit us up on the sound off line. Let's just go right to it.
Mike, this might be the worst Eagles team of all time. Doug Peterson punched the ball on fourth down in overtime. He doesn't even try to go for it with 19 seconds left. This coach is so bad. This quarterback is so bad. Bring in Jalen Hurts. You know what? I hope we lose every game so we get Trevor Lawrence. This team is a disaster.
Well, what's Jalen Hurts got? Now you're going to creep him out, right? Now you're going to bring in Trevor Lawrence to hover over Jalen Hurts. We can't have that.
QB factor.
You can't have it.
More magic by Nick Foles. Network surely does know how to stick the knife in and twist, as they showed Nick Foles throwing that touchdown pass during the Eagles tie overtime.
Nick did a nice show, but I love this. The one game against the crappy defensive Atlanta Falcons now all of a sudden makes him like the greatest quarterback who ever lived, and erases the fact that he failed in Jacksonville and failed to get a job over a stiff in Chicago. But there you go. One game.
Yo, this bull went suck. He stinks. He's garbage. He's trash-juiced garbage. Put in her.
Yeah, Hurts isn't ready, bro. So you're gonna have to live with it for a little longer. If they're 2-8, maybe we got that way off, but we'll have Hurts Day here at 975 for that.
You play to win the game.
Oh, who did wasn't gonna come up.
No! You play to tie the game. You play to tie the game.
I don't, oh my God. You know, it's funny.
Dougie's gotta go.
I remember covering Tyron, you remember the circumstances here. Auburn tied for national championship. I was covering the game. Yeah. You know what bowl it was. I covered the game. Pat Dye elected to not kick a field goal to tie the game. Or what was the circumstance? He could have won the game and he elected.
He could have went for two to win it and get it outright.
He kicked the extra point to tie it.
Yep, that's what it was.
Yeah. And there was no overtime.
No overtime then, right. Yeah.
Mike, fire Jim Schwartz now. Just get it over with. Fire him now. It doesn't make any sense to keep him around. He doesn't send the blitz, and when he does send the blitz, they don't get there. So, you know, let it go. Let it move on. Let somebody else be the defensive coordinator. Can't get any worse. You're getting dominated by a Cincinnati team, Mike, that really stinks.
I will guarantee you this on this particular date. Knowing where this Eagles season is going to go, it's not going to be a playoff year. So they don't make the playoffs. Guaranteed he's the guy who gets chopped. There's not even a question that Schwartz won't be back. Now, Peterson will be back. Roseman will keep his job. Schwartz will be the sacrifice. Boom.
First of all, any 50-year-old man who calls himself Howie can't be trusted. Does anybody call you Mikey? No. They call you Mike or Michael.
Everybody calls me Mikey Miss.
50-year-old man is called Howie. Well, that tells you everything you need to know about him.
Well, listen. Yeah, I don't think that really matters much because there are a lot of people out there called Jimmy. You know?
Yeah, Jimmy. And
Jimmy. I
have you in my phone as Mikey.
A lot of people are Mikey Miss to a lot of people.
I don't get the Jimmy part. I love the Howie.
We're going to call him Howard?
Yeah, it's whatever. It's
people are just angry.
Yeah, they're taking it.
No, they don't like his name. I don't like his name either.
They're taking it little scabs now.
I'm confused. Is this the same coach who went for it on 4th-and-1 at the end of the half in the Super Bowl against the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of all time? The same coach that just settled for a tie against a rookie quarterback in Week 3?
He was supposed to have them big tees.
But, yeah, in this game.
13 seconds left. I'm done with this team. Get them out of here. Get them all out of here. I'm done with them. Hey, you jump off sides. I'm done. Wentz, Peterson, get them all out of here. I'm done with it.
I love the I'm done people. And then, back, Eagles are on. Whoop.
Well, let them pull off the miracle against San Fran.
Oh, stop.
They win 7-6. They'll all be back. Defensive battle. We get it.
Nobody's done. Even if they get smoked by San Francisco, which they're gonna, get smoked by the Steelers. Nobody's done.
I said I was done. I said I was done. Yeah. I'm not done.
Of course you're not done. That's just a manifestation of frustration that comes out that way. I'm done. Protect yourself, but you're not.
Joe Girardi, this is what a village idiot you are. On Friday, after Tampa secured a best record throughout the American League, Kevin Cash littered his lineup with 150 hitters, just setting up the rotation. And you cannot win those two games? Oh, the great Joe Girardi.
Well, listen, that's disrespectful. But, because he's earned. But here's the thing that's clear to me. This year was a complete honeymoon. I mean, it's not even. Now, next year, I think cracks the ice a little bit on Joe if they get off to a bad start and they're not a great achieving team. 1 year, he gave him the 1 year.
Yeah, a couple things I'm sick of. I wrote it down so it wouldn't curse. First thing, I'm sick of subpar corners converted to subpar safety.
I'm sick of subpar college safety converted to subpar linebacker. I'm sick of wide receivers taking health days off during the week, only to pull a hamstring in the first half. Mr. Glass, Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, well, he's old now, so I can't complain about that. But everything else, you're pretty right on. All right, let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like
them. What?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets up.
All right, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned. The Great Inside the Birds show follows. Inside the Birds, Jeff Mosher, Adam Kaplan tonight, 6 to 8. It's presented by DraftKings on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stay tuned for a re-air of yesterday's Eagles post-game live, where you can hear about Doug and you can hear from Carson and everything was gooey. So stay tuned for that. It's been an exhausting day. Devon Gibbons also comes in a little later after the Mosher Kaplan show. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there. Don't take it too hard. Tomorrow's a different day. We'll talk to you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.